Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday, April 5th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, police are investigating after a 15-year-old male was shot and killed Monday afternoon on his way home from school in North Philadelphia. According to police, the shooting happened at 2:40 p.m. in the 2200 block of North 15th Street near the Tanner Duckery Public School. The eighth grader was shot four times while walking home, and police believe he was targeted. Officers heard the gunshots and raced over, rushing the victim to an area hospital where he died from his injuries. A backpack, a math textbook, and a notebook were left behind at the crime scene. No weapons were recovered and no arrests have been made. Anyone with information is asked to contact police. You can call 215-686-TIPS. Philadelphia health officials are warning people that there could be a new wave of COVID-19 infections. Even though COVID cases remain low in Philadelphia, health officials are now encouraging people to wear masks indoors as they see an increase in cases. Epidemiologists have always kept an eye on Europe as an indicator of what will happen in the United States when it comes to COVID. What they are seeing now is a spike in the BA2 variant. Philadelphia cases have increased more than 50% in the last 10 days with an average of 94 new cases per day. Wearing masks indoors is just a recommendation at this point, and it is not a requirement. Health officials in Philadelphia are keeping the all-clear status but are suggesting masking indoors again. You will now be able to get a Jersey Shore favorite in Philadelphia. Opening day for the Phillies is set for Friday at Citizens Bank Park, and this season, Manco Manco Pizza will be bringing its taste of Ocean City to the ballpark.
Wow.
Look for plain pepperoni and a series special near Ashburn Alley. Ryan Howard's Colby's Southern Kissed Kitchen chicken will also be another welcomed addition to the ballpark. You can find it right behind first base, his home base for more than a decade with the Phillies. The Big Piece Sandwich, a nod to his nickname, is the signature item. Howard said you can also expect to see him at the ballpark as well.
Is that a genital reference or what is the big piece?
Big piece. I don't know. I didn't know that was his nickname.
He's just a large guy.
Oh, yeah. Definitely a big piece. So he's going to be at the ballpark.
That's what he says. Yeah, he says he's going to come up and he expects to be here at the ballpark. You know, not every game, I'm sure, but he's saying he wants to make visits here.
He was sort of part of the piece of the lineup that was missing for a stretch. So he's a big gentleman, so they had Chase Utley.
Why did I even think that?
Jimmy Rollins, and he had massive genitals, Steve. Yeah, that played in as well.
Utley was, they called him the little piece.
Peanut butter and jelly place has the big penis sandwich, which I think is kind of
that's weird.
Yeah.
You know, you see him down in Wildwood all the time. You catch him riding his bike.
Oh, really?
Down,
yeah, oh, that's cool.
All the time.
Awesome. Yeah, so they're saying he's going to be at the ballpark, and yeah, now you can get Manco and Manco's pizza at the ballpark, which is pretty cool. As for opening day, fans will get a fleece headband. Dan Baker, the voice of the Phillies, is celebrating his 50th year. He will throw out the ceremonial first pitch. In sports this morning. With only four games remaining in the regular season, the Sixers return to the hard court tonight with a game in Indiana against the Pacers. The Sixers are tied for third place in the East with a record of 48-30, while the Pacers are out of the playoff race with a record of 25-54. Tip-off is at 7 o'clock. The Flyers have a game at home tonight, and they'll take on the Columbus Blue Jackets. Neither team will make the playoffs this season, as the Flyers have 22 wins and 55 points, and the Blue Jackets have 32 wins and 69 points. The puck will drop at 7 o'clock. In NFL news, the New Orleans Saints doubled up on first-round picks in this year's draft, while the Eagles push one of their three first-rounders back into 2023 as a result of a trade between the two teams. In the trade, the Saints received two 2022 first-round picks and a 22 sixth-round pick, while the Eagles received a 22 first-round pick, a 23 first-round pick, and a 24 second-round pick, plus a 2022 third-round and seventh-round selections. After the trade, the Eagles will pick twice in the 2022 first-round because they still have the number 15 pick. And in the NCAA, the Kansas Jayhawks are the national champs. They were down 15 at the end of the first half, but came back from behind on their way to a 72-69 victory over North Carolina, bringing a fourth championship banner back to Allen Fieldhouse. When it was over, Kansas completed the biggest comeback in title game history, surpassing Loyola Chicago Rally against Cincinnati back in 1963. And that's Matt for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. So here we are, whittling our way through another work week together. We have some things that I think you're going to enjoy today, including a chance to win a Preston and Steve themed tattoo for free, courtesy of our friends at Floating World Tattoo and Piercing, and you'll find them at 1729 South Street. So that's engaged. That's ready to go. Text word tattoo, and we'll maybe pull your name by the end of the show. Let's see if we can get you in there, all right? So think about what kind of a design you might want, and then text the word tattoo to 39333. Some other things going on this morning. We are going to have on this very program in the 9 o'clock hour somebody I've always wanted to have a chat with, and we get to do it. Mr. Alex Lifeson of the band Rush will be joining us.
Very cool.
Alex has a new band. It's called Envy of None. His bass player is called Andy Curran, and he will be joining us as well. It's a self-titled debut album, and it comes out on Friday. There are pre-orders that are available. It sounds absolutely nothing like Rush at all.
No.
So we will talk to Alex about that. Should be pretty cool. So in the 9 o'clock hour, we will have that interview. And today, we're going to play Show and Tell.
Yeah!
I don't even know if the word play is the proper word, but we're going to have show and tell on the program. Yeah. A few of us have brought in some items that we thought might be worth sharing with each other, telling a little story about it. And, you know, if you stream us on YouTube, you'll be able to see said objects that we have brought in this morning. I brought something.
I brought something.
Nick did. And Casey did.
Slap in the face to me to realize I have nothing worth showing or telling.
Come on, man. You have all of those action figures.
Guys. A Batman figure. Like, I'm trying to look for something that's unique.
Yeah, I have no idea what to bring in, so I'm interested to see what you guys bring in. I hope it gives me an idea of
you do still have your Beanie Babies, right?
Yeah, but
you could have brought those in.
They're stuffed animals. You've seen Beanie. You know what?
So what?
But you know what they look like.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to see what you guys brought.
Yeah,
Maybe we'll get a good idea of what you were thinking. Because I was thinking something. Actually, I was entertaining the notion of bringing my mother's ashes. So I have those.
Oh, wow.
And see if I could rebuild her.
Yes. Okay, we're going to play with that.
Yeah, yeah. You just need a little water. Stir. And then you need one of those
formed
pans. A pan that's in the shape of my mom.
That's show and tell.
You probably need a blender or food processor or something
and
like that.
And a gelatin.
Yes, congeal everything. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, it's just, you know, something unique or interesting or something you're proud of or whatever it may be.
Well, you guys are going to set the bar for us.
Yeah, we'll
Mine is
going to
be so dumb. Just wait.
No, don't say that.
Oh, no, I don't care.
Let us say that.
Yeah. No, Marissa might have the dumb one because she did her hands in this gesture like, I kind of have something maybe. So, I don't know. We'll see what that is. So, we'll get to show and tell in the 8 o'clock hour. It might not go anywhere. We'll find out together.
On YouTube.
Yeah, watch on YouTube. I know it's radio. Show and tell. Know this.
We got to tell.
Just trust us.
What we do is we describe theater of the mind. We'll explain these things so you have a clear, vivid picture in your head of what we're talking about.
Are you going to be nervous standing in front of the class?
What? I remember being nervous as a kid. Yeah. Absolutely. So
I always loved show and tell at school, though.
It was so exciting.
Yeah.
Because you would bring something you were really proud of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Preston, I brought in a full Civil War sword. A full sword.
Yeah. Yeah.
They won't let you even do the handgun, finger gun. I brought that in second grade.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll see what our objects are a little bit later on this morning as we do show and tell. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. The entertainment report and a stupid question and stuff to give away. Hang in there. We'll be back in a moment.
If you like what you hear, you can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So we're going to go with a stupid question this morning. Give away a prize. We have a pair of sweet tickets to join Mr. Brad Porsche as NASCAR returns to Dover Motor Speedway on May 1st. And the question I have for you is, the atomic number represents number of what in its atom? 215-263 WMMR. Wow. Let's see if you know the answer to that. All right. The atomic number represents the number of what in an atom? Call now if you know the answer. 215-263 WMMR is the number. I'm going to mention some birthdays. And I always look over at IMDb. Nick has this pulled up on a monitor in front of me, and I saw this girl, and I kind of recognized her. I'm like, who is her? So I clicked on it. She's an actress. Her name is Krista Allen. And the first thing that pops up, you know who she is?
I'm familiar. Yeah, is she the elevator girl in Liar Liar? Liar. Yeah.
What? Wait, what?
She's like, everybody's been so nice to me. Well, that's because you have big jugs. As he has.
Oh, my God.
He has to tell the truth. And she was also in, Steve, in Anger Management.
Yeah, yeah.
She's one of the porn stars that goes to Anger Management. Her and January Jones.
January Jones.
Porn stars. Yeah. That's before she really hit. So I'm like, I know that gal.
She's also in a pretty good, if you remember the series Project Greenlight, they did one series where they were making a horror movie called Feast, and she is the female star of that movie.
Okay. I didn't see that. She is 51 today, by the way, so I thought that was worth mentioning. We'll move on to the Barney Miller television show and Max Gale, who played Wojohowicz. He is 79 years
old.
Always
liked
today.
That character. He did a fair amount of character work himself. Was he bald during Barney Miller?
I don't think during Barney Miller. I think he eventually, he did bald, but I don't remember him having a completely clean scalp back then. It was so great when we had Hal Linden here.
It was great.
Barney Miller himself. What a nice guy. And it was a huge show in his time.
Solid ensemble series.
Yeah.
One of the best ensembles.
Abe Vigoda.
Abe Vigoda.
So Max Gale is 79 today. Michael Moriarty.
Yes. Great actor.
He's 81 years old. That guy does not look that age to me, you know?
No. He's quirky, a little weird. He's a solid actor.
Yep.
Again, I always invoke one of my favorite baseball movies of all time, Bang the Drum Slowly. Mm. He's in that with De Niro.
So 81 years old today. Agnetha Fuxskog. She's a singer. F-A-L. She's from ABBA.
Oh.
She's one of the ABBA chicks.
Yeah. She's the blonde.
And she turned 72 years old today.
ABBA Peppers and Onions. The other one, right?
ABBA Peppers and Onions. I read this the other day, they're re-releasing a very big concert film that ABBA had in the late 70s, I believe it was.
Oh, they dominated.
They're going to redo it. Yeah, they were massively popular. They sold just millions and millions. Like almost like a billion
right?
Records.
Yeah.
Agnetha is celebrating her 72nd birthday today. Nick, there's a birthday in the world of Pearl Jam today. Mike McCready's birthday.
There you go.
Okay.
I saw yesterday he is going to be on Ozzy's new record. I don't know if you saw that in Music News, Preston, but Ozzy, I don't know if Ozzy released this information or McCready did, but let me see if I can pull it up. But yeah, great guitarist. Kind of underrated guitarist.
I agree. Yeah, he was kind of I thought he was more the rock end of Pearl Jam, you know what I mean?
Yeah, a little more blues riffs, and Stone Gossard's sort of the rhythm guitarist, but Mike's incredible.
So you're playing with Ozzy.
Yes.
So this is like a thing?
And he was not aware.
Not happy,
and
yeah.
So he is 56.
Nobody made me aware of this. So the Rocky impression is now that I hear it.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo. You're playing with Ozzy. Oh, this is my Rocky impression, and now that I hear it.
Hey, yo.
There's a post on Pearl Jam Online that says, Mike is going to be playing on an Ozzy song. Don't know which one it is yet. So he's 50.
Ozzy doesn't even know.
Yeah, right?
He's 56 today. Then you have Greg Mathis, who is the judge on the Judge Mathis TV show. He is 62.
I can't watch those shows.
I can't say.
The only one that I'll occasionally catch because it's in prime time is not even a real judge, a Steve Harvey show.
Mitch Pileggi,
yes.
From The X-Files and Sons of Anarchy.
And what was that horror movie where he was, it was a Shocker?
Oh, he was Shocker?
Yeah, he was
Horace?
Horace, whatever the name, right?
That.
And they try to kill him in the electric chair, but they only make him like
Yeah, they send him through the electrical system.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, he lives in your in the wires and stuff.
That was a Wes Craven movie, I think.
Okay, yeah, you're right. He is celebrating his 70th birthday today. The lovely Haley Atwell.
Oh, yeah.
Agent Carter from Captain America. And the Agent Carter TV show is excellent.
I loved both seasons. Yep. I would have loved to have seen it continue, but we got what we got, which is terrific.
Yep.
It seems now, as of late, people have been made more aware of her curvaceousness.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I didn't know.
Right.
You had to point it out to me.
Right.
And then I saw her in a Black Mirror episode, and I was I didn't know she had those.
And rumor has it that she's working on the Mission Impossible film, that she is, she's with Tom Cruise now, that she's the girlfriend.
I love her English accent, whatever that is, whatever region that is from, her and like Leah from Joel and Leah, she has a similar one.
Yep.
And I watched the What If series with and she's, I'm Captain Carter.
Yeah, I
just
enjoy it.
Love that, her twist on that English accent, whatever her regionalism is.
And she's just really good.
Yeah, she is really good. She celebrates her 40th birthday today, so happy birthday to Haley Atwell. And then... another Brit has a birthday today, Lily James.
Lily.
Now, talk about curves. The ones in Pam and Tommy are not her curves, and it looks so real.
Best
Pamela
performance
Anderson
by prosthetic breasts I've ever seen. My wife and I are watching it, and I'm like, where does she end? Where does she begin? And that thing, I don't know how they did it. They had full-blown, fully nude, you know, to a level, sex scenes.
Yep.
And I couldn't figure it out.
Yep. And obviously she plays a bombshell in that. And then in the movie Yesterday, she's just this cute, sweet gal.
And Cinderella.
And Cinderella, yeah. And she was in Downton Abbey as well.
Yeah, she was. That's where she got her start. But Pam and Tommy Lee, like that... that show lived with me for a while. There's a lot that happened in that short amount of time, and they were both so good as those people. I was really impressed by both their performances.
Nick, there were times you had to remind yourself that she wasn't Pamela Anderson.
Absolutely.
And he was so close in his gesticulations and his attitude and his bavar. It was amazing.
Wait, I just realized who that was from Downton Abbey.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think she was only on one or two seasons, and then she... she took off.
Yeah. Okay.
That's where she got her start.
She is 33 years old today. All right. Let's see if we can get an answer to Super Question. The atomic number represents a number of what in an atom? 215-263 WMMR. And we're going to Tristan.
Tristan.
Hi, Tristan.
Hi.
All right, Tristan. So the atomic number represents the number of what in its atom?
The number of protons.
You are correct, Tristan. Hang on, buddy. We're going to set you up with a pair of sweet tickets to join Mr. Brent Porsche as NASCAR returns to the Dover Motor Speedway on May 1st with the Duramax Drydene 400. And you get tickets at doverspeedway.com. All right, we're going to start with this messed up story, man. Martha Stewart is mourning the loss of her cat, Princess Peony, who was tragically killed by Stewart's four dogs recently.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Imagine that. One of your pets kills your other pet.
Other pet.
I had a friend of mine years ago had a cat for like a year, and they had a dog, and the dog was either, Kathy, like your situation where the animal gets spooked in a weird way and attacked the cat and killed it.
Oh. Yeah, that seems to be probably what happened here. So she posted a photo of Princess Peony's burial on Instagram on Sunday. And she wrote, "Burying the beautiful and unusual Princess Peony, the four dogs mistook her for an interloper and killed her defenseless little self.
Oh, my God, that's awful.
I know, right? She writes, "I will miss her very badly, R.I.P. Beauty." She had celebrated her 12th birthday last year. In a follow-up post, Stewart shared a photo of the beloved cat. And it is reported that Stewart's cats were not very comfortable around her dogs even before this happened. In August 2021, she posted on social media, "My cats feel liberated because the four dogs are away on vacation, leaving the cats alone in the house to roam, relax, and recover."
So she let the dogs go off on vacation by themselves?
Maybe that was it. Yeah, they needed some
Cancun
time
or something. Yeah.
Sow their wild oats, get it out of their system.
Go nail some bitches, you know what I'm saying? That's what you call female dogs.
That's right. Yeah. Nail some bitches.
She just sold her Hampton house, and she like opened up a little bit. That, you know, she was showing the inside of it. Like, finally, you can see how it's decorated. The pictures were like I was so disappointed in the pictures. Yeah, like they weren't that
underwhelming.
It was like clothes hanging on the exercise equipment.
No, it just didn't show much. Like I wanted to see the house. I wanted, you know, supposedly she has this beautiful pool and she's by the water, and like there, it didn't. It showed like an entryway. And I was like, really great. That table's awesome.
Imagine if that's your whole thing. So you are design. You are crafts. You are the epitome of what a home should look like. The stress that must accompany any photo shoot that shows your home.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. It's like a bookcase with like 2x4s and cinder blocks.
Right, yeah. Right. Yaffa blocks.
Right. All right. In an appearance on a podcast released on Monday, accepted actor Justin Long was bursting at the seams to talk about the one and finding the one. He said, he told the former Bachelor Nick Vial, I guess is the person's name, I had gotten to a place where I was comfortable with myself and I didn't know it at the time, but I was ready for the one. And the one I met and I found, he said. Now, he didn't name any names, but last week...
It's got to be Neo, right?
No, he and Blue Crush actress Kate Bosworth were spotted in a car together in Los Angeles. And since then, they've also been photographed holding hands.
I love you.
So good for him. Yeah, and he's telling The Bachelor about all this. Former Bachelor Nick Vial on the Vial Files podcast.
Cannot wait to hear the Vial Files.
I guess that's how you pronounce it, V-I-A-L-L. He said,
point, does it matter?
He said, I want to talk about it, but I also want to be protective. I want to scream it from the rooftops.
Okay.
But I also want to be protective. It's sacred.
This photo seems to verify what you're saying, right? We're looking at Kate Bosworth and Justin Long holding hands.
I've not seen Kate Bosworth in a while. She was kind of on the rise.
Yes.
Blue Crush.
Right. Hamilton.
Was her big, you know, leading role breakout.
Yeah.
And kind of didn't really ever take off big, but I'm sure she's still working.
She was in that Superman Returns. Remember, she played Lois Lane.
It's funny because you had you said her name. I was like, oh, yeah, I just saw her. As if it was a current movie, but... It was that movie called 21 about all those like MIT people who were, you know, blackjack card counters. That thing came out like 12, 15 years ago.
Yeah, I just saw Superman the same thing like a dozen years ago.
Saw her in the Battleship Potemkin.
Yeah, you see it on Netflix. It's like, oh, it's brand new.
Yeah.
Everything is new again.
Well, 2 years after a breakup with former NFL quarterback Jay Cutler, Laguna Beach star Kristen Cavallari said that she's finally ready for another relationship.
Has she found the one?
She posted some, like, picture. Is she saying she's dating someone?
In an Instagram Q&A over the weekend, she told fans she needed to take time to work through some heavy stuff.
Yeah, but now she's good, right?
She said, I dated a little here and there, but no one's serious.
I had three testicles.
I'm finally in a place where I'm ready for a relationship. When asked if she would get married again, she said yes, adding, I still very much believe in marriage. And I've had tremendous growth over the past 2 years. So I'll be entering a new relationship as a different person, which really excites me.
I was intrigued by what she said. She's looking for a man with detachable jam.
We know a guy. Cavallari advised her followers to take the time to work through it, allowing yourself to feel all the emotions. After ending a toxic relationship, she added, it literally took me 2 years to fully heal.
When did it become toxic?
Here we go, Kathy. On Monday, TMZ shared photos of Cavallari kissing former Bachelorette star Tyler Cameron during a photo shoot for her lifestyle brand Uncommon James. It's unclear whether this was just for the photo shoot or if something more could be brewing there. Now,
Tyler Cameron,
you were talking about, though, was it?
Yes, this is the photo I was talking about.
Tyler Cameron?
Yes.
Okay, so this guy has the intellect of a can of Crisco. He's unbelievably dumb.
So I think
but
he is
a male model.
I think this is an ad.
Okay, got it.
I don't think this is an actual romance.
Got it.
Brittany.
Because there was she just posted the picture.
With no context.
No explanation whatsoever.
Britney Spears confirmed Monday she is writing a book. Weeks after reports first circulated that she had a multi-million-dollar deal to write a tell-all memoir.
She's another one. I know. With the Instagram post. So the way I guess this is how she announced it. What she put it on her Instagram, but she put it in like a screenshot. It was like a novel written in a screenshot announcing that she's writing a book. Like it just, everything she does is weird.
It's a little, some of it is a little bizarre. A lot of her videos are just, you know, kind of like make you reconsider that conservatorship.
To 100%. Yeah. Like I'm like, well, I don't know. Maybe it was the dad, right?
Yeah, I expect that first manuscript to be submitted in crayon.
Spears revealed the news to her Instagram followers after some appeared to express confusion about why she was discussing her past and recent photos. Later, Monday evening, the post was unavailable and appeared to have been deleted. She had written, "Well, I'm writing a book at the moment, and as it's actually healing and therapeutic, it's also hard bringing up past events in my life."
Well, you know she's going to name names in this because she's you mentioned yesterday about her feud with her sister and also her mother, who she the original culprit was supposed to be the dad. But since she's been talking and free to talk, she says the mother was the real architect of everything that happened to her.
Spears says that she's taking the time to address moments that she hadn't expressed her thoughts about openly, adding that she wasn't comfortable having such conversations in the past. She said, but it's time to talk about it. This is according to what she said on Monday. But what do I why do I say this? Well, because I never felt heard ever. Hmm. She said, I was screaming inside, and no matter what I said, it was always looked down on.
So she's become accustomed to this. Sorry, Preston.
No, sorry.
And it feels like way too much percentage of her life is lived within Instagram, right?
Yeah.
Like, within these walls. And I know a lot of it was sort of like she was kind of locked into where she was. I mean, like, she couldn't really go a whole lot of places. And then so she became really accustomed to being on Instagram all the time. But even in the story, Preston, like, you're talking about something that she wrote and then she posted and then she deleted. So there must have been some kind of feedback where it was like, no, I can't keep this up any longer. It's a bizarre way to live your life.
Well, that's a perfect segue into this next story about Selena Gomez, who says that not going on social media makes her feel normal.
Yeah.
The only Murders in the Building star has not been on the internet for 4.5 years and believes that this is great for her mental well-being. Now, she has over 300 million followers. She hasn't been on in 4.5 years.
332 million people in the country, and she has 300 million followers.
310 million is what it says.
Crazy.
Right, yeah.
But I guess there are people who submit that she lets them sort of curate and submit things periodically on her site, but she does not go on herself.
What are the most recent posts on there, Nick?
There was one yesterday. Dates?
Okay, somebody else is doing it.
Yeah.
The 29-year-old actress told Good Morning America on Monday, "I haven't been on the internet in 4.5 years. It has changed my life completely. I am happier. I am more present. I connect more with people.
I believe it.
It makes me feel more normal." What?
What is she doing? She's waiting for something, right? Like, when you're in line, what do you do?
You know what I would say? The other day, where was I? I was waiting somewhere. I was in a waiting room sitting, and I looked around, and a couple of the other people that were there did not have a smartphone with them. And you know what they did? Casey did this weird thing. They picked up a magazine. They started flipping through it. They started looking around the room, and it started reminding me about what I would do when I would wait. And it's actually a little better, man, sometimes, just kind of collecting your thoughts and...
If you have earbuds, listen to music or something. Yeah. Or do those things you used to do.
That's connected to the internet.
But, or listen, if you have, what if you have MP3 files recorded on your device? I do think that that's probably a good cleanse to do. And she shows no signs of stopping.
How do you feel about it? Because I think you're the most...
addicted?
Yeah, addicted amongst probably our group.
I'm jealous of her. I'm jealous. So she has the freedom to be able to do that. I don't have that freedom, right? Like,
your job also demands that you're...
If I gave up the internet, right, then I don't have the job that I have, right? Right? But, like, she is a, filthy rich, tons of money. She's a superstar. She has all those people doing all those things for her. So that's nice, and that's great, and I'm really happy for her.
How much of your online time is voluntary as opposed to work-based?
I would probably say, like, 60-40, because, okay. I mean, it's... I'll be on some sort of social media, and I'll scroll, and then I'll be like, okay, I'm bored of that, and then I'll go to, like, email, and then I'll scroll through my email. Yeah. All right, I'm bored of that, and then I'll go to a different social media thing, and I'll go, I haven't played Words of Friends in a long time.
Wordle.
But that's only one time.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Like, I see
more of the social media thing being the stigma because of the feedback that's there, you know what I mean, as opposed to... playing a game, reading news stories, things like that. I don't know.
I forget who I heard say it. I've heard many people say it. It's so true. The world is not Twitter. It's not the percentage of people who are actually actively using social media as opposed to the general population.
And I don't take too deep of a dive on that stuff. Like, I find myself, if I start to scroll a little bit too much or start to like feel a certain way. I'm like, this does not deserve any more of my time.
What I've been able to do is I've been able to curate and remove a lot of that stuff. I am solely Jerkmates, Case.
That's, oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's great,
I've never heard of Jerkmates.
No. Yo, ever heard of Jerkmates?
I think part of the problem, the inherent problem with Twitter and Instagram and social media is that there really is no beginning or end, right? You dive in.
You're right.
If you read an article, there's a beginning and a middle and an end to that article. And then you can put that article aside. You pick up a magazine. You can read the magazine and put it down. With Instagram, there's no end ever.
Well, it was the comedian who said, okay, I finished reading the internet.
Right.
I have a story, and if we have time to get to it, if we're going to do a variety of stories, it was really interesting about the people that literally, quite literally, have the keys to the internet.
Oh.
It's something that you didn't know existed.
Oh.
And there's a special ceremony around it, too.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I want to find out.
It's pretty wild, So if you get a chance, I'll try and...
It's run through Jerkmates, right?
Oh, okay. Never heard of that.
Yo, ever heard of Jerkmate?
All right, so anyhow, Selena Gomez... Where did that go?
You said yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. So she, Selena Gomez told Good Morning America on Monday, I haven't been on the internet in 4.5 years. It's changed my life completely. She said that she attributes growing up in the spotlight on shows like Wizards of Waverly Place is teaching her about the dangers of social media and the rest of the World Wide Web. She said growing up in the spotlight has definitely taught me so much. I can't believe that I'm where I am mentally just because of how I took the necessary steps in order to kind of remove myself from that because it's just not normal, she says. And she, you know, she was diagnosed with lupus. She also had bipolar disorder and all this stuff.
Did she have an organ transplant?
She had a kidney transplant.
From one of her buds. And
she's kind of seeing that it's better for her to just...
I commend her.
Yeah. All right. A couple other things. Kanye West reportedly told Kim Kardashian recently that he was going away to get help in an effort to stop harassing her and Pete Davidson. The source told Entertainment Tonight, for the sake of their kids, Kanye told Kim he's not making any public appearances or inflammatory social media statements, and he will go away somewhere to get better. And by the way, he canceled Coachella. Not officially. There's been no official word from his camp or the Coachella people. I was just looking it up this morning. But the word is he's out.
Do you know where he is right now? Mm-hmm. He's on Mars with Dr. Manhattan.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Just taking a break.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of crazy things happening here. One of the West reps told the publication this time he is committed to a healthy co-parenting relationship with Kim and is focused on raising their beautiful children.
Well, that's healthier.
Speaking of Kim and Pete, Kim, they seem to be taking their relationship to another level. Davidson reportedly introduced Kim to his grandparents.
These are my grandparents.
TMZ, nanny, grampy. TMZ.
Why are they frozen and in your room closet?
He doesn't stand for baloney.
Thank you. TMZ reports.
Hi, nanny. Hi, grampy.
Kim Kardashian, that Kim visited Davidson while he was filming a movie on Staten Island. Since the set was closed to where Davidson's grandparents lived, the pair reportedly stopped by for a visit after he finished filming one day. And he has also been spending more time with Kim's inner circle, including Scott Disick.
Oh, I hate that guy.
On Sunday, Disick posted a video of Davidson driving the pink moke car Kris Jenner got Kardashian for Christmas. I'm not familiar.
I believe it's what they tool around on their Kardashian compound in. It's basically a golf cart.
Okay.
Done up with pink. And so, Disick is basically like a herpes sore. Mm. You know, that goes away and comes back. There's nothing beneficial cosmetically or anything else. There, Preston, a picture of it is up on the screen here.
A moke.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that.
Here's the deal. I think of all of those people, Scott Disick is, he looks like, and this, I've never met the guy.
Yeah.
He looks like the guy who is just an a-hole to everybody, like like the person that serves him at Dunkin' Donuts. You know what I mean?
He's a douche,
He's a
quintessential douche.
I could be completely wrong about him. He could be the sweetest guy.
He could be Mahatma Gandhi.
Right?
Yeah.
But to me, he just comes off as somebody who just doesn't treat the everyday average person with any ounce of respect. And... you know, I'm completely and totally judging the book by the cover, but don't like that guy.
I got you, man.
Simple as that.
I agree.
All right, just a couple more quick things. I have a lot we could get to, but we don't have all the time. Following a 13-year feud, today reports that Lee Daniels apologized to Monique for a dispute they had while working together on Precious. at her Monique and Friends April Fool's Day with the Queen of Comedy show. Daniels got up on stage and said, "I am so sorry for hurting you in any way that I did."
I watched the exchange. It seemed pretty pretty legit.
He said, "Y'all, she was my best friend. My best friend. Aww. Y'all think that Precious was just, that was, and I'm putting in the pauses here. That was God working through both of us, and we're going to effing do it again." Monique later posted a photo of the pair together writing, "No caption needed. I love you. I love us for real.
I love you." Remember when we had Monique in the studio years ago?
We had him in studio, too.
Yeah.
Lee Daniels.
When did Precious come out? How long ago?
From a book by Sapphire?
2009.
Okay.
Yeah.
13 years later.
All right. And then one last story. Harrison Ford has signed on opposite Jason Segel in the Apple comedy series Shrinking. The show was first announced in October 2021. Segel will write the series alongside Ted Lasso co-creator Bill Lawrence and Ted Lasso star and writer and co-executive producer Brett Goldstein.
Is this based... for Ted Lasso. Yeah.
Yep.
Is this based on that movie? Was that Matt Damon movie where...
Oh, yeah.
No, it's not.
To me, this seems more like psychology.
It is. Okay. That's what it's about. So Shrinking follows Jimmy, who is Jason Segel, a grieving therapist who starts to break the rules and tell his clients exactly what he thinks. Ignoring his training and ethics, he finds himself making huge, tumultuous changes to people's lives, including his own. And Ford will play a guy named Dr. Phil Rhodes, described as a down-to-earth, sharp-as-a-tack, blue-collar shrink, blunt, but with an ever-present twinkle.
Huh.
Phil is a pioneer in cognitive behavioral therapy and has built a successful practice over the years that he shares with his two younger proteges, Jimmy and Gabby. Fiercely independent, Phil has recently been diagnosed with Parkinson's, which forces him out of his comfort zone as he grapples with intrusive friends, his estranged family, and his legacy. And this will be his first ever television starring role for
Interesting.
Harrison Ford. Yeah.
Did you watch any of that Will Ferrell, Paul Rudd?
I watched the first episode,
I didn't buy it.
Nick, you would
say. Yeah, I loved it. I watched the whole thing beginning and it's dark and it's weird, Steve, and it takes some odd twists.
I tapped out after the first.
I mean, if you didn't like it, you didn't like it, but it took an episode or two for me to really get into it.
Okay.
And then once I did, I couldn't wait to see how it wrapped up. It's based on a true story. And Paul Rudd and Will Ferrell played very different characters than they normally do. It's not Anchorman 3, you know, so, but I enjoyed it very much.
All right, we're ready to roll the clips. We'll start with this one. Based on the iconic book series, The Hardy Boys, it follows brothers Joe and Frank as they uncover clues about their mother's death. In this clip, Alexander Elliott shares what it was like to be on the set.
There is a bit of pressure involved. You kind of freak out a little bit, but once you get into it, once you, you know, they call action, you're just lost in the world. You're given these fantastic scripts, this crazy world that they've built, all these cool locations that I've been to.
Shut the f*** up!
Season 2 of The Hardy Boys premieres tomorrow on Hulu. Here's the next one. The Croods Family Tree.
Wow.
Follows two very different families as they join forces to create a caveman co-op community.
Is this technically Croods 4?
In this clip, I don't know. I thought maybe it was 3, but I don't remember.
I think 3.
In this clip, Uga Crude actor Amy Landecker shares why she is excited for this series.
There's a lot of action. There's a lot of adventure. There's riding the bullrises, hanging out with the punch monkeys. So that was probably one of my favorite parts, was feeling like I was not just in a comedy, but I was also in an action movie.
Thing sucks.
All right, and season 2 of The Croods, Family Tree.
It's
today on Hulu. So there you go.
It's not a movie.
And Nick Cage is not in it, just to kind of give you an indication of how bad it must be.
Well, I don't think any of the actors from the movies are.
But I did watch.
How can they do that? Like when they have two movies already, and then like they did it with Shrek too. Like how are they able to make the next? Series and it's not any of the people.
How to Train Your Dragon ended up on TV, and they used some of the voice actors for that in the TV series, but not all of them.
I think Jay Baruchel was part of the
series. I think you're right,
But the most recent Transylvania.
Adam Sandler's not even in it.
He's the main character.
I don't understand.
Yeah. All right, well, anyhow, that is all I have in music news for you this morning. So we're going to take a break. Not music news. What the hell am I talking about? Entertainment report this morning.
I wish we heard music news.
Selena Gomez is a singing artist.
I'm going home in 5 minutes.
All right. We have a few things going on. Tattoo Tuesday. Chance for you to impress and Steve Tattoo. Text word tattoo to 39333. We are going to have Alex freaking Lifeson of the band Rush on our show this morning. One of my heroes will be joining us, and he's got a new band called Envy of Nuns. We're going to do him and his bass player, Andy. We also are going to have Show and Tell on the Preston and Steve Show. A few of us on the members of the program have brought in items to show and tell about, just like you did back in kindergarten.
And we'll ask questions.
And you will be able to view this on YouTube if you stream us online, all right? So keep that in mind. We'll get to it a little bit later on. We'll take a break. Be back in a sec. Oh, and don't forget, MMR's concert cash. We have a chance to win $500 and MMRBQ tickets starting at 8 o'clock. So hang in there.
Join Pierre Rare as he broadcasts live on Wednesday from 10:30 to 3 at the Xfinity Store in the Northeast Shopping Center at 9171 Roosevelt Boulevard in Northeast Philly in recognition of Comcast's incredible donation to Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger.
Alex Lifeson of Rush joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. We're going to play Show and Tell or have Show and Tell here on the show at some point during the program as well. But we started this off-air discussion, and sometimes when we're talking about stuff, when, you know, commercials and music are playing, we'll stop and go, well, maybe we ought to crack the mics and continue this conversation and see where this goes. So Kathy had brought up a story in the news earlier that the ballpark, Citizens Bank Park, has announced a few additions to its food lineup, which is always kind of cool when something new comes in.
And, I dig it.
And there you've got your staples that have been there for a while. Every now and then some slots open up and they put some stuff in. So one of the things that you announced was Mako's.
Manko.
Manko, because there was Mac and Manko's, Casey. And I'm not well-versed in Shore pizza.
Right.
And also, okay. I mean, apparently it's the stuff of legend.
Yeah, you're a Wildwood Crest guy. So Mac and Manko was an Ocean City thing. Now it's Manko and Manko, but Max is a Wildwood thing, and Max is the Mac of Mac and Manko.
But Mac and Manko split up.
They split up
a few years ago, right?
So they're no longer partners, but the pizzas are the same thing.
The exact same pizza?
Yeah.
So same recipe.
So and the design of the pizza, at least like the article in the Inquirer, Kathy, you were talking about it as well. They have, is it sort of a concentric circle of tomato sauce,
swirl of sauce.
They got this cool little thing, Kat, that I always love it. The sauce applicator. It's just a tube.
Yeah.
And they've got it like hooked up. It's just a tube, but like, you know, a lot of times you'll see them pick up a ladle,
right?
And they'll spread the sauce. No, this thing, it's a hose,
Marissa,
and they're like.
Yeah, Case, they're gonna have the hose.
Isolate
the
that, by the way.
When you walk by it at the ballpark, they're going to have the hose in the ceiling.
Oh, the hose is coming out from the ceiling because down the shore, the hose is coming out from behind it, like underneath the counter. Oh,
mm-hmm. It's like, I wonder if every now and then, like, an air bubble gets in there and you get a...
I'm sure you do.
Splash. All over the place.
Yeah, I mean, this is the staple on the Ocean City Boardwalk. The line is always, you know, down the street or down the boardwalk. You can walk up right outside, grab a slice. You can, I think there are some seats, you know, inside you can sit if you want. But, I mean, it's...
Ocean City was your shore town, right?
No, Sea Isle. But I have a good friend in Ocean City, so I spend a lot of time there with her. And, yeah, this is, I mean, like...
That was my shore town.
This is where we would go for pizza. I mean, it's good. Like, I like it. I like this pizza.
I've heard everybody rave about it. So just to understand the lineage here, it was Mac and Manko?
Mac and Manko.
Manko. And then what happened was, is that it's now Manko and Manko.
Right.
Because when they had their feud, Mac went off as a separate thing.
Max was already there, though.
Max might actually outdate Mac and Manko.
But selling essentially the same... Yeah. Very high quality pizza.
But I don't know about the... And by the way, I never call Manko Manko, and I will never call
it. What do you call it?
I call it Mac and Manko.
Oh.
Because that's, for me, that's what it was, and it's what I... So, but I don't know about the feud. I have no idea if there was a feud.
It was a 55-year partnership that they ended.
Wasn't there a fire? 55 years.
Wasn't there a fire involved at some point?
I think there was, Nick, a couple years ago.
Well, the most recent fire was at the board... The
Pirates Castaway Cove.
Yeah,
Why did they use the tomato hose to put it out?
Right. Mm-hmm. But on Ocean City's boardwalk, there's at least three, maybe four Mac and Manko's. And so there's one at like 13th. But I don't know. I don't know if any of them actually caught fire. I have no
idea. We're going to find out. We're going to do some research.
55-year relationship. That's a couple of generations, probably.
Yeah, it sure is.
Wow, easily.
Mike?
So I haven't had it. I need to. Casey, you kind of sold me on it because you told me it was a thinner crust, thinner, crispy crust.
But you haven't had Max?
That's what I want.
You haven't had Max yet?
No.
Oh.
Said no.
Well, no. Well, then I failed you. I failed you, Preston.
No. We've spent a lot of time around Maury's Pier, and I've been eating a lot there, you know, like at Curly's and stuff.
He's like Alfred at the end of the Dark Knight Returns.
I did. So in Wildwood, the two big names are Max and Sam's. My wife loves Sam's. I like Max. But you should. We need to do a side by side taste test.
Yeah.
You need to not know what you're having.
Well,
first.
Ooh, blind, double blind,
double blind taste test.
To hit one of the big points here, as you were saying, or at least before we came on. So this is a massive coup for the ballpark, right? Because that's the only place.
That's what I said.
You can only get it down the shore.
So down the shore, and then Mac and Manco. They were in. They had one shop in Summers Point.
Right.
There's like a little strip mall that they had. I don't know if that's there anymore.
It is.
But for me, like, yes, this is absolute coup. I don't know who this is a coup for. Would you say it's a coup for Mac and Manco? Or do you
for
think
them, definitely.
Or for the ballpark.
For raising the bar.
Yeah.
You get this huge captive audience here several times, you know, however many home games there are. And, dude, it's going to do insane business.
Of
course. I mean, because, like our friend Giuseppe at Lorenzo's, when that got in at Wells Fargo Center, it's like, boom, dude.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Are they out of there now?
I don't know. I haven't been in Wells Fargo in a while.
Wells Fargo, I think, stole the idea.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say stole. They liked the idea so much that they did it themselves. So now there's a pizza place there. It's called, like, Cuz's, and it's a giant slice of pie, just like Lorenzo's was.
Oh, man. You can't do that. I'm sorry. I love those guys, but come on, man.
Marissa?
So, Preston, I grew up in Ocean City. Mac and Manco's was like my life. It is so good that the past 2 years, it hasn't settled with my stomach well.
You still eat it anyway.
And I eat it anyway.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
I have to have one slice a summer.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, just one slice?
Well, and then I'll do a white slice.
Yeah.
And it's that good, huh?
Is it that good
while you're eating it there? Or if you were, you know what I mean?
That's the question.
In front of the environment?
It's the environment as you're looking off into
the environment is annoying. There's too many people. You can't get a seat. Nobody looks at you.
But that's what makes it taste better.
Right. I don't know about that.
You can't. My father is for years contended that if you go to a hot dog truck and the guy has dirty hands, the hot dog's going to taste better.
I love that.
I will say, though, Press, if you order a pie, right, like if you order it for like a whole pie, you got to get it well done, because the best part about Mac and Manco is when you order it or buy the slice, they stick it back in the oven, you know, kind of heat it up for you.
Right.
And then that makes it just a little bit crispier.
I can see that.
If you are going to get the, like, an order pie for the house or whatever, you should ask for them to do it well done. So it gets a little
bit
crispier.
And by the way, it was Al Pacino off the air, we were talking about a famous person who drove up to the side of Mac and Manco's and got pizza. And it was Al Pacino.
Host that shoots tomatoes.
For whatever reason, he was down there. I don't know why. And he stayed in the car and somebody ran out a pie to him.
Really? Yeah. Somebody ran a pie to Al Pacino from Manco Manco?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, for me, it's all about coming right off the beach, sitting in there, getting a birch beer. You always have to get a birch beer.
Yeah, it's pretty good, too.
And a whole pie. Because I don't like it well done.
It's all wonderful, but how does it pour to the park? Do they have the birch beer?
Well,
because this is the big sell, right?
It's crazy.
This
is
the big thing they're announcing.
Yeah, my cell phone is just going off right now. My buddy says that Aramark is going to run it. Hopefully,
they
have to do quality control.
Well, Manco said that it's going to be the same recipe that they've made. They commented about it and they said it will be our recipe.
I don't want to speak out of turn, but when our friend at the other pizza place was at Wells Fargo Center,
we know who you're talking about.
They weren't doing it right, and he came in there. He's like, "You ain't doing this." He's like, "If we're gonna slap my name on it, here's how you do it.
He has extreme pride
to do it. Hell yes, he does.
It's a family risk. Kathy, think of all the incredible family recipes that you have.
I mean, I could probably get in
Kathy.
There. I am.
Kathy's hamburgers.
I made dinner for the second night in a row last night.
Well, guys, think about this.
What?
It happens every year. Like the Schmitter was there when that first the ballpark first opened.
The Harry Schmitter.
They signed a contract to do that for like 2 or 3 years, and that ended. And
it was a good sandwich.
Yeah, I don't even know what's still there. The Schmitter's not there anymore.
I don't think. Okay. I think the Schmitter has been gone for a few
years.
It's
gone. Yeah, because that was on the first base side, right? And like now, I think there might be a Federal Donuts over there.
There was one in left field too. There was one by Harry the K's. I mean, and Merce is right.
Well, like, they
rotate these things around, and so they go from one section to another, and then they also will take out just a complete stands.
That's what I was saying. First base. Oh, God. No, I'm wrong. I said first base, but I meant third base. You're right. My bad.
Listen, this is, as Preston pointed out, incredibly valuable presence at a park like that. And what it can do, also just for raising the brand consciousness.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's worth whatever the hoops they have to jump through.
Steve, mm-hmm. you couldn't be more correct. When Citizens Bank first opened, do you guys remember the line for Chickies and Pete's Fries?
Sure.
Right above?
Yeah.
Still. And, like, I guess we go to Chickies and Pete's a lot, so they're readily accessible. And now there's Chickies and Pete's all over the region, like in every county. But then you couldn't get Chickies and Pete's Fries anywhere but the original store and the ballpark. Yeah. So if you can't get Manco Mancos, whatever the heck, what is it? Manco Mancos. It'll never be Manco Mancos. No. I'm sorry.
All right. Here's the rundown on what happened legally.
Oh, good.
This is from Philly Voice. It says the owner of Manco reportedly was released from federal prison. How old is this article?
This is from a few years ago.
Okay. After serving time for tax evasion conviction, Charles Bangle of Summers Point had pleaded guilty to charges in 2015. He was sentenced to 15 months of federal prison, February 2017, served a sentence in September of that year. I was released. Prosecutor said Bangle failed to report $263,000 in income and avoided more than $91,000 in taxes. To escape federal reporting requirements, he also made cash deposits under $10,000 in 2011. His wife was sentenced to 3 years of probation after admitting that she lied to the IRS agents about cash receipts that she claimed were from Manco & Manco, but were really for personal expenses and bank accounts. So there was some fudging of the books.
When you can do it, I think it's always a wise move to lie and hide things from the IRS.
Yes, when you can.
It always works out well.
Yeah, so. all right, well, that's...
it's exciting.
Listen, it's cool hearing about... I mean, you know, the season opener is a home opener this year. On Friday.
Yeah, and the league got their act together, which a month ago I would not have suspected.
I know.
Are you intrigued by anything else on the menu here, Preston? There's I had not heard of Colby's Southern Kissed Chicken. Are you familiar with Southern Kissed Chicken?
No.
That's Ryan Howard's.
Yeah. So Ryan Howard's got a restaurant. What's that going to be called? Ryan Howard's? I don't know.
No, what is it?
Colby's?
Colby's. That's the name of it?
Yeah.
Colby's. No, is that the brand name? I didn't know. I thought that was a dish.
Yes. So Colby's founders, twin brothers Michael and Craig Colby.
Oh, no, I'm not familiar with them.
Okay, and I didn't know if this was an actual Southern thing or just a concoction for branding this particular chicken sandwich.
Yeah, and the chicken sandwich, remember, is the big piece.
Right.
What about this peanut butter and jelly thing?
What about the peanut butter? I didn't hear
peanut butter and jelly burger. So you get it topped with peanut butter, jalapeno jelly, American cheese, bacon on a brioche bun.
I can see the jalapeno jelly, but peanut butter? Get it off of my damn burger, man. Get it off of there.
Well, the good news is that on Sunday...
Get that peanut butter out my sandwich!
You know what? Eggs don't belong on hamburgers either.
No.
Stop it with that.
It's the European way.
What the, you know?
It's the Chicago way.
They
give you a hamburger, you give them an egg.
On Sunday, it is Cavity Busters Day for the kids, opening day. So any of these concoctions that are causing cavities, don't worry, they're going to take care of it on Sunday.
And I'm not familiar with the Colby Southern Kissed Chicken. Is it, Nick, can you see if that is a chain, some of the other places that they've brought in there? Because I am curious as to whether or not this stuff already exists or if this is a brand new creation. And if so, why wouldn't they name it after Ryan Howard, you know? I mean, have a little local flavor.
They're
to
also going to have a Finger Blasters, Preston.
Finger Blasters.
Chicken
fingers.
Yeah.
All right.
It is known as the best darn chicken in the restaurant industry. It was started in collaboration with celebrity top chef Fabio Viviani.
There's no reason to curse.
And it includes founders Craig and Michael Colby, and then Ryan Howard, I guess, is an investor, and then face for the franchise.
There is something about it being at a venue, you know, like when we went to see Claude Giroux's last game You know, I don't, that food just always tastes good. No matter what, no matter what the level of quality, it just tastes good.
So, here's what the, I'm sorry to interrupt, Casey. Here's what the Big Piece has on it, which is their chicken sandwich. And I have a feeling that it's going to be a la, you're seeing more of these type of fried chicken sandwiches since Popeye's had such a success with it. And that was a piggyback off of Chick-fil-A. Everybody's trying to do that. And you know, McDonald's makes a good one now.
Do they?
Yeah. They do. Yeah, they do. And I was at a restaurant not long ago and I got their chicken sandwich and it was that type. And I think they're like, they're brining it, you know, in pickle juice and stuff like that. So this is, the Big Piece is sweet Hawaiian bun.
That's good.
Garlic aioli, pickles, mild American cheese, bacon, lettuce, and tomato.
That works.
That's not bad at all.
Don't overdo it.
Yeah.
Like, that's your success secret in the kitchen, Kathy, right?
Exactly.
Don't overdo it.
Well, listen, I'm not going to give you my secret.
By the way, Kathy has cooked twice this week.
Back-to-back dinners.
We don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
And just so you guys know, Preston, to answer your question earlier, there are two Colby's locations currently in the area outside of the ballpark. There's one in Mount Laurel. I'm sorry, Mount Holly. And then there's one down in Wilmington.
Oh, in Wilmington. Yeah. Hang on. Yeah, Dwayne wanted to comment on that. Hey, Dwayne, good morning.
Hello.
Hey, man.
Good morning.
What's up, buddy?
We got a Colby's. This is Dwayne Blacklister from Delaware.
Oh, hey. Dwayne Blacklister from Delaware. All right, so there's a Colby's in Wilmington?
It's in Christiana, really, but dude, I went there one day. It kind of sucks. I thought it was going to compete with what's the other
Popeyes?
It can't even compete, dude. It has like a sweet taste to it. It's horrible.
I don't know.
It was good thing.
Go ahead. I was just going to say I like the. I can. Preston and I were intrigued by the sweet. You're saying it doesn't work?
Tried it. Their crinkly fries are good, but the chicken, and I got two different chicken sandwiches. I'm like, no, this is not what I'm looking for.
Hey,
I could have went with the McDonald's, the dollar chicken sandwich. That was half decent. This thing, I'm sorry, it's just not for me.
Okay.
I have a question, though, Dwayne. The pickle, was it dill or was it like a sweet pickle? Maybe that threw
you. They didn't have a pickle on there. They have a whole different bunch of chicken sandwiches. And I kept seeing the ads, you know, before it came there. Actually, I went and looked at it because I think it's out of Jersey. And then I'm like, all right, as soon as it opened up, I'm like, got to try. I went there and I'm like, no. And then I didn't see people outside. I'm like, this is probably not what you're going to like. And I'm like, wait, I'm black. I like chicken. But,
all right.
But no, it just doesn't compete.
Honest report from Dwayne. Mm-hmm. Thanks, ma'am. I appreciate it, bud.
Have a great day, fellas.
You too, man. We'll see you.
Ladies,
all right. We got a few other calls coming in concerning that. We're going to go to Phil next. Hey, Phil.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up, Phil?
Hey, I was just calling in and saying the same thing about the Christiana Colby's. I've been there a couple times. I thought they were pretty good.
Oh, all right. There you go.
I had the sweet heat chicken sandwich. I thought that was pretty damn good.
All right.
Sweet. So so they obviously have riffs on their basic core burger, core chicken sandwich, and the sweet heat is, what is that?
It's like a honey, but it has, I don't even know what else is on it, but I know it had the honey flavor, but it had like a jalapeno type bite to it as well.
I'm liking what I'm hearing here.
All right.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was really good. And, I mean, you get a good even piece of chicken on there, too. So.
All right. Cool, man. Thanks, Phil. Appreciate it. Who's this we're going
to? That's Brian Cunningham. Brian always brought in Chris Coons.
Oh, yeah. And he would know. Delaware. Mm-hmm. Let's go down that way. Brian, hey, man.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thank you, bud. All right. So, Colby's, I'm not familiar. Colby's. None of us are familiar, but a lot of people in the Delaware region are.
Big fan. Have had the Big Piece a number of times. We enjoy it as a family. Good service. Great hush puppies. If you like the hush puppies.
Ooh. You a hush puppy fan?
I love hush puppies.
Fried green bean fries that are very good.
Ooh.
And, you know, if you don't stuff yourself, they have really good milkshakes. So,
all right.
I'm happy to politely defend or contradict the previous caller's definition.
All right.
No, we understand that. Yeah,
Fair enough. Appreciate it, Brian. Thanks, man. Good to hear from you, bud.
You got it. Have a good day.
You too.
So, I mean, listen, they can bring all this fine cuisine into the ballpark, but I'm still going to get a hot dog. You know,
it's tradition, right?
Yeah,
I got you.
Yeah,
there are some things I have to have at. I mean, it's like we started this with Manco. You got to have Manco or Max when you're at the boardwalk.
Yeah.
And you got to have a hot dog when you're at the ballpark.
It's as simple as that, you know?
Yeah. I do like to get a hot dog when I go to the ballpark, absolutely. And I remember the Phils at one point were, they were named the best hot dog in the nation.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there was a transition occurred, was it about 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Where they realized that a big sell for, as they were trying to improve the experience, was to raise the food game at the ballparks.
And it's not just for Phillies fans. It,
right.
You know, the thing about ballparks these days is that you get people coming in from around the country. People travel to see these ballparks.
Absolutely.
And so they want a different experience when they go. But Phillies Franks used to be able to buy those. You might still be able to, but you could buy Phillies Franks in an Acme.
And if you have $500, you get to have a really good time and eat great food at the ballpark.
How much is parking this year?
Dear God.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I feel like the best hot dog you're going to get is at the turn of a golf course. That is, and
you find them in the grass.
No. Well, maybe. But I
those are duck turds.
I tend to buy mine from the restaurant.
So on a golf courses tend to have the best hot dogs.
Yeah.
Well, it's after you play nine holes. It's what's called the turn.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And so there's usually a quick refreshment grab or something like that, and it's because you've played for a couple hours and you're hungry, and usually a hot dog is really good to go at the turn.
And Valley Brook. Believe it or not, that's my favorite hot dog.
Valley Brook Country Club? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You have a favorite country club hot dog?
Happy. I was a vegetarian, and then I got to the turn at Valley Brook, and I was like, I think I'm going to have a hot dog.
Is that where you
I
gave up?
I swear to God. I swear I
got to tell you
not.
My favorite laundromat chips.
Have any of you guys been to the ballpark in Reading where the Fightins play?
No.
I hear it's great.
It is. It's a really good, and it's by the way, it's cheaper, so if you're looking to take the family out and you get really great seats, you're on top of the action. But they have these hot dogs, Casey. I don't know what they do with them, but they are my favorite ballpark
really?
Dogs, yes. And like they grill the buns a little bit differently.
I like that.
It's not, Steve, the way you were describing your dad's, you know, favorite kind of a dog. Like they put some time and effort. There's the appearance of time and effort into the dog to the dogs that they serve there. They're really, really good.
I want to go back to Colby's because we had they've announced it's going to be one of the new properties at Citizens Bank Park along with Manco. And so it's a Ryan Howard owned establishment. And Jay wants to mention one of the menu items that we had said. Hi, Jay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, bud?
Well, don't dismiss the peanut butter and jelly burger yet.
Okay.
Until you tried it.
All right.
I went to a restaurant in Mays Landing, and I saw it on the board there as a special. I'm like, come on, that sounds gross.
Yeah.
The guy talked me into it. It was one of the best burgers I've ever had.
All right. So the one at Colby's has peanut butter. It's got jalapeno jelly.
Yes, that's what this had, too.
Okay.
So, you know, cheese and bacon.
Jay, so Lucky's in Manayunk, at the burger brawls, and Casey, you and I would always judge, they had a peanut butter, and I think it was just straight-up regular jelly on top of a burger, and it wasn't bad. It was pretty good. So, but the jalapeno jelly seems to make more sense to me.
Somehow how the fat from the peanut butter renders in with the fat from the burger, it's absolutely fantastic. I make them at home all the time.
You got Nick's attention.
don't mind if I do.
Would you like some more fat with your fat?
Don't mind if I do.
All right. Jay, here's the deal. I would not order one. Somebody would have to give me a bite or cut off a little piece I have a little sample of it or something like that.
Or they bring it to the radio station.
And that's what they ought to do. That's what they ought to do. If you're going to have something like that on the menu, they ought to, like when you get your bourbon chicken
at
any standard Chinese cafeteria, they're always giving samples of this stuff. I guess it's like crack cocaine.
The food court. Yeah. The way they do it at the food court.
Yeah, if they could have little samples of this PB&J burger, I'd try it and you might sell it on it.
Okay. Care for some toasted rat?
Yeah. Right. Brazier's coming by on Thursday. He wants to come by and promote opening day. I can, if you want, I can lay the smackdown and say, listen, well, you can't come in unless you're bringing peanut butter burgers and Colby chicken.
He has to. I agree. I think that's the one as it's research.
Yes. I'm game. It may not travel well, but I'm game for trying.
But you know what? People always say that. We always say we take that into consideration. So we'll accommodate. We don't realize it's not optimum, but if it's still good, then that says a lot about it.
Hang on a second. Let me another call or two on Colby's because there's people who have been on hold for a while. I'll go to Alex, and we got to take a break. Alex, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, bud?
I actually live near the one in Mount Holly. That was the original flagship store, and Ryan Howard worked there for at least a month or two serving out food.
And for the longest time, that they had a line that was stretching down Route 38.
Wow.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I personally have never had it, but I know that the way they bread, it's like a thicker batter. And
somebody was calling in and said it was like a cornbread type of breading on it, which I'm intrigued.
Yeah, and they
or maybe cornmeal.
Some people don't have; they're not. It just doesn't go well to them with the chicken sandwich when we're used to the McDonald's crispy chicken sandwich,
right?
Like Chick-fil-A. Mm,
okay.
But yeah, they have hush puppies, and it's the breading style. If you read reviews, it's a hit or a miss whether you like it or not.
You like it?
I have not had it yet.
Oh, that's right. You said that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I wish I could. I see it every day when I'm going through Lumberton and stuff, and I'm just like, I need to go there.
Well, it is your mission now, Alex, as a representative of the Preston and Steve show, that you must sample this and return your review, please.
Absolutely. I'll do the peanut butter and jelly one just for you.
All right. Thank you, Alex.
Or get your own radio show and that you could do visiting that guests to bring food to you.
Right. Rob Wasserman, by the way, from Rouge, who he is the one who created the Burger Brawl. He said that Lucky won three times.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a big
peanut
hit.
Butter one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Peanut butter and jelly one?
Right. Okay.
By the way, Nick, somebody texted in and said the hot dogs in Reading are Burke's hot dogs.
Ooh. Yeah, somebody said that they're made literally like the hot dog factory is right around the corner from the ballpark, so they're fresh.
Well, there's a hot dog factory around the corner.
You can hear them killing the pigs from here.
It's a great ballpark.
They use nail guns.
Reading, Lehigh Valley with the Iron Pigs play, and the Trenton, all really great ballparks that are they're nearby, much more affordable than the downtown in South Philly if you want to go.
By the way, Steve, per your request, Casey's impression of the Manco's tube.
Yeah.
Sauce tube.
Yeah, please.
Here we go.
I knew it would be good.
It's Casey's Manco's sauce tube. And that's how they put it on your pizza.
Can I get a little more sauce on mine? Thank you so much.
Wait, you missed the spot.
Can I get an enema sauce with that, please?
Thank you. Next.
All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. We have your chance to win MMR's concert cash, so don't miss out. Bizarre File up too. We'll be back in a sec.
Did you know you can listen to all of WMMR's podcasts as well as our live stream on your Alexa-enabled device? It's easy. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Tomorrow, just a reminder that Pierre Robert is hitting the road. He's going to be doing a live broadcast. He will be at the Xfinity store in the Northeast Shopping Center on Roosevelt Boulevard in Northeast Philly. And so that's from, you know, like 10:30-ish whenever we get done till 3 p.m. So he will be there. And this is because of their great contributions that Xfinity and Comcast made for the Camp Out for Hunger.
God, they've been doing such a great job, and they've been really upping their amounts. And I got to tell you something. I like those stores. There's a lot of gadgets, a lot of cool stuff.
And make sure you stop by and see Pierre, because not only is he broadcasting, but he'll have your chance to win some great prizes. I would imagine maybe some MMRBQ tickets. I don't know for sure, but maybe.
As you can imagine.
And speaking of those tickets.
MMR's concert cash.
Now, here's your concert cash keyword.
It's 8 o'clock, so we're going to reveal that word. The first one of the day. This hour's keyword is hurry, H-U-R-R-Y. And there's no hurry, really, because you have 15 minutes until 15 after the hour, specifically, to enter that word, hurry, H-U-R-R-Y. Three ways to do it. All right, you can text it to our special contest short code number, which is 45911. Or if you'd like to be entered for the $10,000 grand prize, you want to enter it via our MMR app. We're at WMMR.com, and one random entry wins $500 in our company-wide contest, and all MMR winners receive two free tickets to the MMRBQ. Winners will get a call from our company, Beasley. Make sure that you answer your phone. The contest rules are available at WMMR.com. It's H-U-R-R-Y. That's the word. And is sponsored by AAA Distributor. Good luck to you.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Annie Max. A golf tournament benefiting service dogs for veterans is almost here. Become a sponsor by visiting fetchtheballcharity.com and use the promo code ROCK and you will get a free gift. All right, we'll start with a local story. Maybe you caught this, maybe not. A small plane crashed into the front yard of a house on South Main Street in Manville, New Jersey, Monday afternoon. Not far from the Central Jersey Regional Airport, just over the border in Hillsboro. The 2006 Mooney M20M plane was destined for the Hillsboro airfield after taking off from North Carolina. And the police said, Lieutenant John Carter said that there were no casualties at the scene, and the pilot was the sole occupant of the plane and taken to a local hospital for treatment. He said the pilot, who did not identify, got himself out of the plane and was across the street when the authorities arrived.
That's pretty amazing.
The pilot had a head injury, but it did not appear life-threatening. Preliminarily, it appears that the pilot was landing, had a problem, and tried to abort the landing and clipped a tree, which spun the aircraft and caused it to crash. It sparked a small fire, which firefighters extinguished in a short amount of time.
Well, you know how easily that could end poorly. The fact that he walked away from the accident, that's amazing.
Yep. The late Maryland rapper by the name of Goonu, all right?
Okay.
Quite literally received the Weekend at Bernie's treatment this past Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Goonu was shot in the parking lot in Prince George's County, Maryland on March 18th. He died several hours later at an area hospital. His family believes he was a victim of an armed robbery, and the Prince George's County Police Department is offering $25,000 for any information leading to the assailant's arrest. Now, on Sunday, Goonu's family and friends held a celebratory event at Washington, D.C.'s Bliss Nightclub, which was billed as the rapper's final show. Goonu's apparent embalmed corpse was propped upright and on full display during the event, adorned with a crown and designer clothing. And they've got him, like, standing.
Propped up. And let me tell you something. He spit some awesome rhymes.
Oh, man. and so the apparently a rapper named Black Fortune who attended the event confirmed that it was Goonu's actual body and no wax figure. He said, as long as his mother was happy, that's all that matters.
Who knew Goonu was going to be there?
In a statement issued on Monday, Bliss Nightclub said that it was never made aware that Goonu's corpse would be on display during the event.
Is that the thing you have to ask?
They said Bliss was contacted by a local funeral home to rent out our venue for Goonu's homegoing celebration. The statement notes, we sincerely apologize to those who may be upset or offended. Please keep Goonu's family and friends in your prayers at this difficult time.
So, President, the Goonu pictures that I've seen, I can't quite determine how far they have him leaning back because he looks like he's almost freestanding.
Yeah,
in the pictures I've seen.
They have to have like a hook hanging something on his clothing, yeah, and in the back or something like that because it looks like he's standing straight up. That's okay, whatever, man. All right, this story's out of Scotland. A man found himself in court this week after staggering topless across a busy dual highway and shouting at a field of sheep before opening a stranger's car door and urinating on a 9-year-old boy.
Yes, right. Stop it, sheep! Excuse me for a second. I got to piss on a boy.
So Thomas Degnan from Glasgow caused chaos at a filling station before weaving across the A9 road near the Glen Eagles Hotel. He forced a number of motorists to swerve out of his way to avoid striking him before he ended up in the field who was just harassing an innocent flock of sheep.
You stupid sheep!
During the bizarre rant.
Covered in wool.
During the bizarre rampage, he pulled open the rear door of a car and urinated on a 9-year-old boy who happened to be sitting in the back.
How you folks doing? You mind if I piss on your son?
The court was told that Degnan had urinated on a car and had been heard shouting and swearing by shocked witnesses in the incident. Degnan had admitted acting in a threatening and abusive manner. Now, he admitted causing fear or alarm.
They never should have changed it from Manco and Max.
By repeatedly shouting and swearing and repeatedly striking the window of a vehicle occupied by a woman and a 9-year-old boy.
You'd freak the hell out if you saw that outside your car.
He admitted urinating on the car and then opening the door and urinating into it and onto the boy before staggering onto the A9 where he, while he was still not wearing a shirt, he appeared for sentencing after previously admitting the charges against him.
I apologize to the little boy and I apologize to the sheep.
Yes. He was sorry. He was very sorry. Well, here's a local story. Montgomery Township man was arrested on two charges Thursday morning after he allegedly broke into American Star Diner and stole food and then broke into the Adult World store before being scared away by an employee.
Full time to spank it.
Robert Dugan has been charged two counts of felony burglary. Dugan was captured on surveillance at the American Star Diner where he broke the locking mechanism on the front door, forced his way inside, and he allegedly stole an entire cheesecake and a half of a prime rib roast.
Oh, that's a big meal.
Then he exited the dinner through the broken front door. And just after 6 a.m., a shirtless Dugan was captured on surveillance outside of Adult World on DeKalb Pike, where he was observed striking a message billboard with a bat, causing it to break, and then allegedly began striking windows of the business before repeatedly striking the glass front door, causing it to shatter. Footage showed Dugan leaning in through the shattered door. However, a female employee screamed at Dugan, and he fled the scene on foot towards Costco. Total damage there was about $5,000. He was subsequently taken into custody that morning. I also find it amazing that somebody's at Adult World at 6 a.m. to work.
Right, right.
I wonder what their hours are.
You know that
are.
Breakfast rush.
Yeah. All right, and then we'll do one more story. A construction worker, I believe this is in Ireland, yes. A construction worker was removed from a building site after being caught dropping a bag of his own poop off of a crane.
Oh, dear God.
In Dublin.
Oh, my God.
The culprit was caught brown-handed and removed from the site after management got wind of the incident on Wednesday.
Watch this. It's going to be very funny.
The man who was working on the site through a...
Hey, Angus, look up!
A subcontractor will never be able to work on any of the company's sites again. In footage seen by Dublin Live, the man reveals a plastic bag filled with poop while standing in the cab of a crane.
Oh, man.
The blue and red plastic bag is tied tightly while the man jokes about the joys of being a crane driver. Some toilet paper is clearly visible inside the crane. The man in a separate video swings the tied bag above Dublin's skyline before slowly dropping it onto a rooftop directly underneath the crane while cackling merrily to himself. The bag plops onto a roof right next to a skylight, leaving a nasty mess.
I admit that I'm easily amused.
Viewers are left speechless when the camera zooms in further on the disgusting and bewildering delivery.
But listen, that's how they do it over there in Ireland.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. There you go. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. Okay, we have somebody we're going to talk to now.
Yes.
Via Zoom. There is an event coming up. It is a pet adoption event. Casey is involved in this. Casey, you're going to be there for this event?
Yeah, because Rafferty Subaru is always giving back, and so they're hosting this event on Saturday morning/afternoon.
All right, so we have the Director of Advancement and Public Relations at Providence Animal Center. This is Justina Calgiano. Hi, Justina.
Hello, you guys.
Nice to see you. So, Casey was telling us just a little bit about the event, but we're obviously going to go to you for more of the details. But quickly, before we do that, tell us about Providence Animal Center, please.
Yeah, so you might remember us as Delco SPCA. We changed our name a few years ago. This year, we're celebrating our 10th year life-saving, which means we are what's considered a no-kill facility. We are aiming to do 4,000 adoptions this year of cats and dogs. We also offer low-cost vet care, low-cost behavior services that are open to all to help keep pets out of shelters. So that's really our main goal. And we also investigate acts of cruelty within the 49 municipalities of Delaware County. So preventing cruelty, preventing homelessness, and finding new families for orphan pets.
My wife and I are big supporters of Providence. Yes. You know that. And the work that you do is really good. And especially on that A lot of times when you hear about an abused animal, they end up with you guys, and you guys are taking care of them and just do great work consistently. So, and is Bark in the Park on this year again? Hopefully,
They're on, Steve, October 22nd. I hope you can be there.
Yeah, this time, usually everything could sort of, you know, they pick the same weekend, but I should be good.
I know.
So,
sorry.
No problem, no problem.
All right, well, what about the event this weekend? What all's going on there, Justina?
So our friends at Rafferty have been really good to us for the past couple of years. They donated a car to us, which our humane officer actually goes out and rescues animals in. But they love us so much, they have us for adoption events twice a year. So this is one of two events we're going to have at Rafferty. The Rafferty brothers are sponsoring 50% of the adoption fees of dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens.
Wow.
And it's very generous of them because normally that's not an offer we do for puppies and kittens, but they really want to encourage adoptions. So we are going to have all types of animals, ages, breeds, sizes, available for adoption. It is an 11 o'clock event at Rafferty Subaru in Newtown Square. And then, of course, Casey's going to be there with some of your crew. I know you guys are going to raffle stuff off. So it's going to be a great event. So we really hope that people come down. If you have a dog, bring your dog.
Hey, just for number's sake, how many at events like this, how many homes can you usually find for pets, do you think?
Our goal for Saturday is 20. Okay. So we're really hoping to place 20 pets. Rafferty has helped us find over 100 homes for pets over the past couple of years.
Oh, wow.
So they've really made a great dent, in helping us find homes.
That's great. Subaru is incredibly generous. These guys are, very much so. And Casey, I know, Casey has two dogs that are the size of Clydesdales.
Yeah.
So this is big for you as
but
well.
But this is cool because, not only is this an adoption event at Rafferty, I mean, you are going to have the animals there. Not all of your animals, but you will have animals there that you'll be able to meet and adopt, I assume, on site?
Yes, on site. And you know what's really cool? Sometimes people will go there and they'll be buying a car and they're like, I was thinking about adding a pet.
Yeah.
So whatever works. I mean, we're down with it. They're good families. We want to find them a good pet.
Excellent. All right, so Casey, 11 till
I'll be there from 11 to 1. The whole event is going on from 11 to 2, I believe, but I'll be there for the first 2 hours.
Excellent. All right, Justina, we wish you luck. We'll send people in that direction. It is Rafferty Subaru this Saturday at 11 a.m. You can go to WMMR.com and get details, but stop by and help support Providence Animal Center. Thank you, Justina. Yay.
Thank you, guys.
All right, we'll see you soon. Yay. And good luck with everything. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second when we return the first ever Preston and Steve show and tell event.
Yeah.
Some of us have brought in items to show and tell you about, so we will do that in just a few. Stay there.
Thursday from the MM Archives. A recently unearthed tape of a special guest MMR DJ.
Our guest is Bruce Springsteen, who's putting it together.
Pierre Robert shares highlights of this historic broadcast from April 7th, 1974, Thursday at 1.
If you'd like to talk to Bruce Springsteen, 561-5933.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Don't forget, it is a Tuesday, and that means we've got some free ink for you to win, Tattoos Day. So if you're interested in a $350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo and Piercing, just text the word TATTOO to 39333, and we'll get a winner by the end of the program.
Did you get the email of one of our tattoo winners who did a Gene Simmons chicken?
No. Is that real? Yes.
Yeah.
No. I need to see that.
I'll dig that up. I thought you guys all got it.
No. Got to see that. That's brilliant. That's as show-centric as you can possibly get. And it pays tribute to two great things, Gene Simmons and chicken.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't get better than that.
All right. This next segment might not work. Who knows? We're going to see if it does or not. We have talked about this in the past, about bringing in some items to show and tell about.
Preston?
Yes.
They said the same thing about the X1.
And look what happened. Yeah. It broke the sound barrier.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time ever, the Preston and Steve Show is bringing you Show and Tell. Thought I'd throw in a little bit of Rush this morning. Since we're having Alex Lifeson on in about a half hour or so. All right. So, you guys want me to begin?
I'll be the teacher. Preston, okay. We'd like to see you.
Oh, my God, yes.
And your show and tell, what you have for us today.
I remember sitting there with a big brown paper grocery bag.
Oh, yeah.
with whatever it was that I brought in, and we would all sit on the floor, and like Steve, the teacher would call you up, and it was your turn, and it was so exciting, because you would have seen a couple of people go by then, and you know that yours is way better than theirs.
And you'd have, like, and you could bring in things like a new cool toy that you had, like, look at this, what this does.
Yeah, totally.
I could be the a-hole kid who criticizes what the other kids brought.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Because I didn't bring anything.
Totally. Yeah.
And then, but everyone starts to pass out because you brought some stuff that you baked into the...
So I had I only remember one show and tell ever that I participated in, and it's because on my way home from school one time I found a gardener snake, and so I captured it and I put it in a Folgers
can,
and then I brought it into school the next day for my show and tell, and then the gardener snake somehow magically got away.
Oh, no.
And my mom let him go. She did not care for having a snake in our house.
By the way, check on that. Is it gardener snake or garter snake?
Garter.
I was pretty sure it's garter.
Garter snake. Like in a wedding when you put the snake on the girl's thigh.
Yeah, and then it crawls around. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure.
That's cool.
And, so people would be texting. What was
that? Did I say it the wrong way?
No,
garter.
Garter
snake.
The snake that you are talking about has a gray mustache.
Yeah, you said a gardener snake.
Ah.
A Jim Gardner snake.
Okay, so what I brought, speaking of show and tell back in the day and when the kids would be there, is what I've mentioned before. I brought this to my third grade show and tell and recently found it.
Wow.
And hopefully...
This is a good one already.
I haven't brought this in for you before, and it just dictates, it just shows exactly what a different time it was, because, ladies and gentlemen, I brought to my third grade show and tell... A World War II bayonet.
Oh, my God. You actually brought that into school?
I did.
A weapon.
This is a knife. Mm-hmm. It's probably a good 10 inches long.
Good Lord.
And this was a bayonet that I bought in an Army surplus store.
Yeah. If you brought that today, the school would be surrounded and the SWAT team would be
I'd be expelled.
Yeah.
I'd probably be expelled.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But I told you there was another. So this is, I don't have any history on this knife other than it was clearly sharpened quite a bit because it's got a section in the middle that's curved.
Yes.
Unless it was made that way, I don't really know. But it certainly seems well used. And this was definitely for a rifle because you can see where it would slide onto the barrel right here. And there's a button that you would push that would lock it. You can unlock it and it's got a wooden handle with these kind of cross stitches in it. And there is a mark on it, but I've never researched it.
Do we know which army it was used for?
I don't know anything about this other than I saw a big freaking knife and I wanted to buy it.
So my dad...
And this is when you could, as a kid, you could walk into a store and buy a big-ass knife like this. I was in like third grade and I bought it.
We had a German, it was actually a Hitler Youth knife that somebody had given my dad while he was actively fighting the war and brought it back.
Oh, wow.
Yes, Preston, that stuff was around the house. And as I said earlier, I brought a Civil War sword into show and tell. But remember, we had a bayonet as well. I was fascinated with the concept of the bayonet. So it'd be cool to kind of find out the history of that.
Yeah, it does have a mark on it. And I guess I could. It looks like a letter N. Or an M, I can't quite tell, with a crown over it.
That means Nermini. So it was an enemy weapon.
Do you remember the year you bought it?
Let's see. Third grade, it would have been 1978, okay. Somewhere around
How
then.
How cool were stores like that to go to surplus?
Ed Preston, 77?
They would sell dummy grenades.
Oh, my God. Yep.
They would sell...
Well, I told you, another item I brought for show and tell, and I've told this before, it was a Vietnam War era incendiary bomb.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was literally a bomb casing.
Yeah.
It was about 2.5 feet long. It was orange. Had a fin on it, had the front, had an arming pin and everything on it. And I had looked it up. It was incendiary, so it was for creating fires is what it would do. It wouldn't explode, but it would just spread fire all over the place. And it would be for torching villages, I don't know, whatever, burning babies, what they do. I don't know. But
bad babies, like German babies.
The worst.
The Viet Cong, who were fighting at the time. Yeah. But I brought that in. You could bring that in without any... concern. And listen, I think it's insane that we were able to do that stuff back then.
Yes.
And there's reasons why you can't do it now. But I found that stuff fascinating. Me and my friend Bubba, at the time was his name.
Yeah.
we were way into Steve like playing war.
Oh my God, that's what we did all the time, and with the full size G.I. Joes, and when you could get your hands on equipment like this, Preston. When I brought the Civil War, full Civil War sword into, it was a cavalry sword too, I think it was a cavalry officer, brought that into school, I was proud because I had a story attached to it. We just used that sword. My pool had gotten, was up, above ground pool was frozen, and I ran the sword about 50 times into the frozen pool liner.
Oh man.
My dad loved that.
So it was a Civil War era sword.
Yep.
What did you guys ever do? Those things are worth a ridiculous amount of money.
I guarantee you it walked. My dad, when my mother passed away and we moved, my dad held the most crazy garage sale.
Mm. Wow.
Like things I had just bought ended up in the garage sale.
Where is
I sold it. It's like, Dad, this is where you can't run a garage sale.
Yeah. So I don't have much to tell other than that I took it to show and tell as a kid. And that's just insane.
It's a beauty.
This thing was allowed in.
Yeah. So would you want to find the history on it? Like, would you want to figure out?
I've had it for a long, long time.
You know, it's not something you probably take to Antiques Roadshow. There's probably not a lot of inherent value to it, but I bet there's a story behind it. And like, so you could talk to a military expert or some weapons expert, and I bet they could track down like the rifle that it was used for, the era that it was used, that kind of thing.
Yeah, probably. It's pretty beat up, but still.
I mean, I can't believe, A, that they sold it to you. You didn't have a parent with you? I can't remember if you said
that. I don't remember.
No, you could walk in, honestly, Case. There was a surplus store in Northport, Long Island.
Yeah.
You could walk in. I remember. Did and walk out.
I'd buy cigarettes for my mom.
I know.
You know, I mean,
but if I came home with a knife like that, you know, A, if they sold it to me, and then B, if I came home with it, my parents would be like, no.
Casey, I had a machete as well.
I couldn't even have nunchucks. I wasn't even allowed to have nunchucks.
We lived in a place, this is when I lived in South Carolina when I had this, and there were woods all over the place around us, so I needed a machete.
Yeah.
I had to get around in the woods, you know, so.
Not only.
I had a motorcycle, I had a shotgun, it was ridiculous.
I remember buying flying stars from, all sorts of crazy weapons.
Yeah.
Yes.
So somebody messaged on the YouTube stream that you should never clean that blade. It's worth more with the patina on it.
Oh,
and
okay.
I've never heard that before.
That's the new thing in collecting. And I was telling Preston about this. And with automobiles.
Yeah.
You don't restore them.
No kidding.
If you can find them and let them be their original. You know, with a little bit of rust, a dent, all that makes it worth more these days.
Casey, do you see that? There's like small bits of dirt and mud on there. Mm. That was from me as a kid, you know, jamming it into the ground or whatever.
It's Hitler's blood on the edge.
Maybe that's what that is.
All right, so that's what I have for show and tell.
Hey!
Kathy, do you approve?
I mean, I'm not into weapons.
Okay, all right.
But it's okay. It's good enough.
All right, let's get another show and tell.
Hey, wait a second. Can I send Kathy down to the cafeteria to get the pints of milk for snack time?
Yeah, because I didn't bring it in the wagon.
All right, Mr. Morrison, who gets to go next?
The class would like to hear from Casey.
But Nick has three different things. So if you could do like Nick and then me and then back to Nick.
Who's the teacher?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Who went to school for teaching?
Okay, well, then you guys got to hang on a second.
All right.
I gotta get ready here.
Oh, all right. I didn't realize. He's actually preparing something. He's got goggles on.
Yeah, I got goggles.
He's got an arc welder.
Oh.
He's pulling something out. I can't tell if he's reaching into his briefcase or backpack or...
Kid has a briefcase?
Lunchbox or...
Okay. Hang on a second.
What are you... Do we need
to skip you?
No. We're good to go. All right. Turn the music off.
Okay.
Turn the lights off.
Oh, my God.
Well, this is exciting.
What is this all about?
All right, here we go, baby.
All right. Oh, it's got music.
He's dancing.
Oh, look at his shoes.
Oh, wait, I can't see.
Oh, he's got light-up shoes.
Oh, I like them.
Those are great. What do they call those?
Light-up shoes.
And those aren't like, what were the ones that you got when you were a kid that had just like the back of them would light up?
Yeah,
oh,
like
these are much better.
No, these are like on all the time. There's probably an on-off button right on the inside of the shoe.
And they change colors and they go all the way around the sole of the shoe. Like all the way around. Casey, I love those.
I love it too.
You have to wear those a lot more often.
I know,
The Sixers games and stuff.
So when did you get those?
Last week.
That's still show and tell.
Yeah.
Did you get four show and tell?
No. What war is that from?
This was actually, this is the Civil War. This is the end of the Civil War. This is what caused the end of the Civil War.
It was too easy to shoot people in the dark. Yeah.
Casey, sit back on your chairs, kick your feet up so we can see those. If you can.
Look at that.
Wow.
And dude, I love those.
Do you hit the button and they'll change colors or they'll flash?
He was just cycling through the different things he can do. Yep. If I may ask, Casey, how much for something
$37.99.
That's nothing.
We have, I sent Marissa
straight from China.
The link, yes. I mean, on the box.
Yeah, yeah.
Made in China.
China, Texas, though.
Next week, they'll be dead.
They'll be dead, yeah.
But this is worth $37 for
them. Yeah. Totally.
For that. So, thank you, Instagram. You know me so well. Instagram showed me these things, and I was like, okay, let me go to, because the ones that caught my eye were American flag ones.
Oh, I like those for your birthdays, the 4th of July.
But they didn't have them in my size.
So how about the Chinese flag?
No, I didn't. They didn't have a Chinese flag either. When I went to the site, they had these ones, the obviously, like, super shiny silver, but they had, like, goldish ones, and I was like, well, I got to get the silver ones, because silver goes with more.
Well, you know, let me tell you something. These are excellent. Yeah. Those are excellent. Pressing.
I love them. Is it okay if I get a pair?
Absolutely. Okay. That's why I'm showing
you guys. Can walk around at night along the boardwalk.
Yeah.
Yes. So I sent Marissa the link. She can share that if you want.
What kind of battery does it take?
Oh, so it charges. So here.
Okay. You have to run really fast.
Yeah, you got to run really, really fast. Runs on kinetic energy. No, so it runs like this. It's got a battery on the inside.
You run that right to your pacemaker?
Run right to the pacemaker, and you're good to go.
Oh, that's excellent.
Casey, do you mind if I ask how much they cost?
$35.
$37.99.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, $38. That's awesome.
Yeah.
One other question.
Yeah.
Can you strut around the room one more time?
Hell yeah, I got plugged.
For the music.
Is our camera picking these up? I hope so, man. Because that is the best, dude.
They're awesome. Casey. They're really awesome.
Thank you. Dude, we should all get them. We should have show light up shoes.
I agree.
I will get them. I'll gladly get them.
And then, Kathy, you could teach us a little short dance routine.
Oh, man.
All right, here's the deal, though.
Whatever our next live event is, we have to do
that. We have to order the shoes at the same time so they all fail at the same time.
So they all work at least for
a week. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, because within a week, they'll be dead.
Garbage.
By the way, this is my second pair of light up shoes.
Well, you know what? I think you, because Jace has a pair. He wore them like twice, and then he was like,
"Like the regular blinkies?"
No. He has what Casey has, and I feel like you told me, you sent me the link, and that's why I ordered them.
Okay, wait, of these? Like this style?
Not metallic like that.
The
but,
other
yeah.
ones that I have are, they're a cloth white shoe, and the whole shoe lights up with these LED lights.
Okay.
And they're really, really cool.
How much are those?
Probably same. Those might have been like 50. Right. But
do you remember the gloves you could get where the fingertips would all
light up? Yeah.
That's what that sounds like.
So, the whole battery and LED technology is just taking fashion to a whole new
level. Absolutely.
Our fashionista.
The high fashion.
All right, I brought something very old. Casey brought something brand new.
Nick has a troika.
And we are playing show and tell.
All right, Nick. Show the class what you have.
All right, so mine does not come with a light routine or music or the lights going off.
Can you dance?
Or has been used in a pitch battle during a war.
Very little dancing, but I do have three things. Two of them are related and from my childhood. The third is something that I've referenced on the show many times, and so I'll start with that.
How is it?
It's my 1984 Topps traded.
Oh my God!
Doc Gooden autographed rookie baseball card.
Wow!
And
was this the Hampton Inn?
This was the George Washington Motor Lodge right off of 202. There's a Home Depot there now. Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry were there signing autographs. It was $8 a pop to get their autographs.
And how much is it worth now?
At least $4. I don't know. I bet you if I could find a Mets fan who was willing to buy it, I could probably sell it. But at the time, I bought it. I bought it from Classic Collectibles in the Gateway Shopping Center, and it cost me $30 to buy, and then I paid $8 more for the autograph.
Well, and at this point, you have to keep it. I mean, it's part of
the legend.
Here.
Yeah.
It is mint condition.
So you have Daryl Strawberry, and do you have Doc Gooden as well?
This is the Doc Gooden.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So this is the Doc Gooden. And by the way, on the front of it says Dwight Gooden, and on the back it says Dwight Gooden, but he signed it Doc Gooden. So
That might make it more worthwhile. Yeah, he signed it with his nickname.
Topps put out a few different collections every year. Yeah. So they would put out like their normal baseball card set, and then they would put out like rookies sets or traded collections or limited or whatever. This was a Topps traded, which made it a little bit more rare and a little bit more collectible.
Why is it not worth much? Did Doc just fizzle out as a baseball player?
That had part to do with it, but in large part, it's just the glut of baseball cards that came out in the 80s and the early 90s. There was this,
it was like cash.
Well, it was kind of like Bitcoin at the time whatever. I mean, people spent so much money. There was an investment dollar figure attached to it. But I don't know if these things were ever worth that, but people were willing to pay for that. So that's what they cost at the time. So, it's my very classic 1984 Doc Gooden signed baseball card.
Right.
And I knew this was going to happen. When I saw Nick's stuff, because when we originally talked about this, I had something. And when we said we were going to do it, I couldn't remember. I remember what.
You remember what it is?
I remember what it is.
All right, we'll do this again.
All right.
Yeah, if we do it again, I know what it is.
I just thought of something now. I thought of something that I have to fix it, but I'll bring it in.
Okay.
All right.
Nick, what else do you have?
So the other two are interrelated. And I don't know if you guys ever had this book, but I got this when I was probably 5 or 6 years old. It's called My Book About Me.
Oh, my God, I have that.
Okay. So, Casey, you and I are the same age.
Yeah.
And it's a Dr. Seuss book. It's Dr. Seuss and Roy McKee. And basically, they ask you 150 questions about yourself, and you fill them in as a 5 or 6 year old.
I love it.
See, my book was, I think I got ripped off. My book is My Book About Nick McElwain.
Weird. You didn't even know him.
I didn't even know him then.
But that's great.
I was, you could do some drawings. So here's a drawing of a sun.
That's so cute.
And a hamburger.
A guy. No, Preston. That's not a hamburger.
Hang on. Let me see if I can guess what that is.
No.
I think it's the ocean.
No.
It's
a guy with a lot of eyes and noses.
Okay. Wait, how do you remember that?
Because I remember going over this with my mom at one point, and she,
Nick doesn't have many childhood memories.
Yeah.
He just recalls one or two.
I had to write them down. Mm. First of all, there's one thing you should know. Am I a boy or am I a girl? Well, I'll tell you, I am a boy.
Yay!
I weigh 60 pounds. How tall am I? 4 feet.
How giant is my head?
I counted my teeth. I have 13 up top. I have 11 downstairs. You draw your hand, so it's little things like that.
Is that book still available? I think that's an adorable concept because I want to fill it out.
That's my hair color. See, I drew it. I had a little bit blonder hair when I was a young boy. And so that's blonde with so a little bit of brunette there.
Yeah.
How old were you at the time?
I think
you were doing the ombre look before it became popular.
I think it was 5 or 6, but there are some pop culture references on here.
Okay.
Like including my favorite song, Where in the World I Would Like to Live. Here's my address.
What's your favorite song? Where'd you say, where would you like to live? Both of them. Answer both questions.
Let's see. Where would I like to live? I got to go back to that one.
All right. Somewhere Hawaii, the beach.
I live in the United States. I circled the United States, and then I played tic-tac-toe on that page.
Okay.
And then England apparently made the list.
And then
what song? I want to hear your favorite song.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Wow.
All the way back then.
I know you're weird.
Can you find it, or is it flipping through the pages?
Hey, and the book is still available. It's on Amazon for $10.
That's adorable.
It is 60 steps from my tree to the mailbox. My favorite color back at the time was red. Apparently, I owned 170 buttons.
Wow!
You would go around and get autographs from people in your life. So
Doc Gooden.
That's what started it. My Aunt Anne signed it. Uncle Michael signed it. Our mailman, Ralph K. Lapp, signed
your mailman.
Yeah. I got a policeman's autograph. I got an autograph of a man with a beard.
Don't you think that's amazing for a kid to do that? To basically be interviewed, but to talk about, to be able to express what they're experiencing. It's cool.
Yeah, it was really fun, and I'm glad that I found it. I don't know if it was in my mom's house or in my house when I moved or whatever, but I like to collect leaves, rocks, food. There you go, food, cans, and autographs.
So this is okay. What else do you, Nick? What else do you have for the class?
Well, all right. So I was trying.
Tuning in. This is a show and tell.
You do the next item. Show. Give me, and I'll look through it and see if I can find anything.
And if I were to get a birthday present that year, and I know that I didn't get it, but what I wanted was more than anything in the world, a BMX bike.
Wow.
That's a good one.
One of the questions, what kind of woman are you attracted to?
That's a good one.
And then this is just something that was, we can go over it if you want, but it's an autobiography that I wrote of myself in sixth grade. So I used sort of that as inspiration or whatever.
Yeah. A Nick in Time.
The title of it is
a great title.
Wow.
A Nick in Time, yeah. And all I believe I had to write the title page, Casey, had to appear in perfect cursive.
Wow.
So that's where I did that. So these guys were stored next to each other.
Read a little bit of that, yeah, if you would.
All right.
I'd like to hear it.
The dedication.
Some of it.
Okay.
Call me Ishmael.
Chapter 1. Although I've only been alive for 11 years and 11 months, I think I've had an interesting life so far. I know that I've been lucky to do many things and go many places and have had opportunities that other children have not had.
You wrote this?
Yeah.
Wow.
I am thankful for the good... I had a ghostwriter.
Yeah. Okay.
I am thankful for these good things and also for being part of a strong, loving family. Well, that's nice. My family background is rather unusual. My mother is Irish and Italian. Her mother's parents, my maternal great-grandparents, were born in Ireland and came to America in the early 1920s. I knew both of my great-grandparents, Martha and James Kelly, and I got to spend quite a bit of time with them when I was a baby before they died.
It's very that's good writing.
Really well
written. Do you mention the raisins and the meatballs, which I'm a fan of?
I don't, but here's an interesting fact. I think I may have mentioned this on the air at one point. This is about my mom Kelly. She did whatever jobs she could, waitressing, house cleaning, caring for other children, and she got a job as a cashier for the Acme supermarket near her home in Elkins Park, Pennsylvania. She made $17.50 a week with the Acme and raised four daughters.
Wow.
Her second daughter, Martha, was my mother's mother. She died of cancer when she was 47, before I was born. I'm sorry I never knew her. I think we really would have liked each other.
Aww. Is she the aunt that said cassette?
That was my dad's mom.
Oh, okay.
Had the cassette player, yeah. So there's also all sorts of different chapters in here.
Have that is so freaking wonderful. Yeah.
Here's a picture of me when I was 5 months old. I'll hold it for the camera. But, Casey, you mentioned the big head.
Oh, my God. Oh, I thought that was a jack-o'-lantern.
And look at how tiny you have written quite a bit of text in this book.
Oh, is that typed?
It's typed. Okay, I couldn't tell from here.
So,
well, this is written, but the portion of the autobiography is typed.
And your mom held on to this?
Yeah.
See, I think if my mom had been around, I think she would have had a story.
I've kept a lot of stuff like that my kids have.
I think moms are probably...
Oh, my God. Here's my dog from 1986, Tugger.
Oh, Tugger.
As a puppy, and then...
It's a picture, right? It's not in there.
Yeah, and then here's... oh, my God. And here's me, my mom, and my two brothers at Disney World in the spring of 1985 with another dog, Pluto.
Hey, Nick, has your son, has Ben seen this?
He's not.
Oh.
No, I think we'll share it this
mind.
Weekend.
Yeah.
Wow.
I want to go through that. I want to look at Tugger.
Because I told you, my dad, he spoke into a digital recorder for about 4 or 5 hours in different segments.
That's cool.
And gave me a chronicle of our early lives and everything, and I'm going through it right now.
Wow. That's really cool, Nick. Yeah. Nice.
That's
well
awesome.
Done.
Yeah.
Hey.
All right. And then
the third?
Well, I think we're...
We don't know
that was his third thing.
Oh, that was your third?
Yeah. Doc Gooden, The Book of Me, and the
May I say, all you guys had good stuff.
And by the way, Nick, a number of people are texting in saying that your Doc Gooden card is worth about $445.
Sell it to you right now. I don't know if you guys knew that I'm an artist. This is a bird.
With a penis.
Now, I think...
That's a tail.
That's
a red tail, penis.
But it does look
swallow.
Like a penis.
That's the Dr. Seuss bird. That's the bird I drew.
Nice job, Nick McElwain. Hey, thank you. It's show and tell. I think we have time for Marissa, right?
Yeah.
Quick one.
Marissa, what do you have for the class?
She just ran out of her office.
Yeah.
She didn't know she was going to be doing it.
Yeah, she was telling me out before we started the segment, she had one just in case we didn't have enough, or we had too much time.
She's filling out one of those Dr. Seuss books right now?
Well, she wasn't sure if the segment didn't go anywhere and we had extra time, we could put her in. But
she's got a big package.
We got just enough to do another one, and then we got a break because we have some guests coming up in a moment. All right, Marissa.
Is that what is that, a canned ham?
Oh, my God.
She just dumped something heavily on the counter.
I mentioned this before, and you guys kind of lit up. It lives in my house, and I get to see it every day, and I'm really excited to share it with you guys.
Okay.
All
right. Oh. It is an old-time adding machine.
Oh, wow.
Or the calculator, if you will, but it's a type that you would find in, like, a store.
And you pull the lever down.
The clerk would print up your receipt.
Or at Magnata and Son's office in South Philadelphia, because this was my grandmother's adding machine, where she kept the books.
Let's hear some noise from that. Let's hear it. Crank it. There you go.
That's really cool.
That's awesome. When my grandparents had one, it was a little bit bigger than that. And as a kid, I played with it all the time. I loved
You're
it.
You're fascinated. Preston, we used to have the old, you know, Underwood typewriters. I mean, the real old, you know, the kind of stuff Tom Hanks collects. And you're fascinated by them as a kid.
Wait, so are these bells?
Yeah, no, that should be where the printer ribbon is.
Oh, maybe that's why it doesn't print anymore.
Well,
there's a ribbon that goes between those. There's two reels.
Technically, Preston, it's an adding machine / Sibian.
It's about that size.
So there's still like there's still addition, or there's still numbers on it from the last thing my grandmother typed. Because my grandmother, like, never stopped working, so my dad or my grandfather probably just, like, handed her a calculator, and she just, like, swapped it out. Was like, all right, I'm done with these numbers, and boom, on to the next thing.
Was it an accounting firm?
It was a HVAC plumbing company.
Oh, okay.
So they were right there on Snyder Avenue, and my grandmother was in the office and kept the books.
See, I want something like, oh, okay, I have another idea then. Okay, you guys, Kathy, do you have any ideas now? You said you do?
Yeah. Right. I remember exactly what it was.
Yeah, I wrote down a couple more things, so I'll be ready for another show.
I think you guys all killed it.
This says it's a Burroughs portable adding machine.
Look at how portable it is. Only weighs 112 pounds.
Oh my God.
This is the type of thing that if you were at a general store or something like that, because my grandparents owned a general store, and that's what they would use to ring up the receipts.
And Preston, you put this in like an antique store out, you know, in any remote area, and you know, a little extra dust on it, you could sell it for a lot of money.
Yeah, totally.
I bet you could, right? I mean, these things, people love these these things.
Yeah, I was in a store this weekend, and they had things like this all over decorating
how
the
much?
Store.
How much? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it was a clothing store, and this was just filling out the shelves.
So okay. Is that out as decoration in your house?
It
or
is.
You just, yeah.
It's
Marissa's got, I'm sorry to interrupt, she's got some cool antiques. You have antique cameras, radios?
Or have you
started doing radios yet?
I'd love to get an
I have
radio.
A radio that's my boyfriend's grandfather. So all the cameras you'll see in like a Zoom call or when I did my TV show, they were in the background. Those are all my grandparents.
They're kind of like the ones that you look down at, you know?
Yeah.
You look down
They're really cool.
So it's everything from my grandparents, the old ones, like the Polaroid ones, to the ones my dad used in the 60s and
like
the 70s.
A Browning camera, like the
one like that from my grandfather, and then a Nikon from my parents and things like that. And then I have photos that I realized later that were like developed on that and are printed and hanging on my wall from those cameras.
Cool.
Wow. Oh, excellent. Well done,
Marissa.
That's
awesome. Oh, thanks,
guys.
Good show and tell.
Ever Preston and Steve show, show and tell, and hopefully you had a chance to see some of this stuff. If you watched, follow us on YouTube, you were able to take a peek at Casey's light up shoes and Nick's novel about his life and my bayonet that I brought into third grade and Marissa's adding machine. That's really cool. All right, so now we've given some ideas to Steve and Kathy.
Yes.
Next time I think we'll have a full class participation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I sent you guys the link for my shoes. You guys might want to get them now before everybody got
it. All right. Well, thank you guys. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. When we return, Mr. Alex Lifeson of Rush talking about his new band, Envy of None. His fellow bandmate, Andy Kern, will be joining us as well. We'll be back in a moment. Don't forget his Tattoos Day as well. You want a Preston and Steve tattoo? Text word tattoo to 39333. It's from Floating World Tattoo and Piercing on South Strip. We'll be back in a few.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
So we got more chances for you to win money and tickets coming up later on. It's MMR's Concert Cash that's taking place. Next opportunity, less than an hour from now. We'll do it at 10 a.m., and it's real simple. You've probably been through the drill before because we've done this type of thing many times, given away lots and lots of money over the years.
I love this.
We're going to include concert tickets along with it this time. So at 10, we'll give you a keyword, and we'll tell you how to enter that. You'll have until 15 minutes after the hour. And if you are able to do that, then you will be in the running. And you might win $500 and a pair of MMRBQ tickets, which we'll draw randomly. And then we'll get in touch with you and let you know if you win. If you enter the right way, you might win $10,000.
I don't know why you wouldn't do that.
I know. It's through the MMR app or through at WMMR.com as well. So we're kind of killing a little bit of time until our guests are ready to go for an interview.
I just got a text message from my wife. We were killing a little bit of time. She has already quit the day. Spills are terrible, right? But like what happens when you spill an entire thing about cleaning product? So she spilled laundry detergent all.
Oh, dude,
like
how
cleaning up laundry detergent is like that is virtually impossible it's because worst. It's that thick gel sort of liquidy crap.
You need like a, can you use a, like a wet vac and then clean it after you get
can
the
you move?
Of it up?
I think it might be easier to move, but what also sucks is it spilled into the closet in there as well. That is rather unfortunate. And I'm just letting her know publicly that my heart goes out to you.
Okay, thank you.
Because you're not there to help.
Casey's wife and her time of tragedy.
Diane, I think he said leave it. He'll do it when he gets home.
Yeah. All right. I believe our guests are ready to go. Here's the deal. They can't hear them in the other room, so they're letting me to just know that I'm going to bring this little, as Pierre would call it, gadget up.
Right.
And then we should be able to hear them. But yeah. I'm going to play a little clip of the music because Alex Lifeson from the band Rush has a new group. And they are called Envy of Nine. And it's along with Andy Kern, who we're going to speak to as well, and a lovely singer named Maya.
Really good.
I'm going to play a little bit of this for you because it sounds nothing like what you would expect from Alex Lifeson.
I like it.
Yeah. All right, and while I'm sitting here playing with my Alex Lifeson dolls, did you guys see them?
I do. You got all your figures, all your Rush figures.
1970s Alex and 1980s Alex and Funko Pop Alex.
I didn't see you playing with your Alex Lifeson dolls again.
No, yes, sir. No, I didn't see you doing that again. Please welcome Alex Lifeson and Andy Kern.
Yeah.
This morning. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Philadelphia.
Hey, yeah, thanks for coming on, guys. We can't see you. I don't know if you could see me and Alex with my dolls.
Yes, I see them with your zigzag shirt as well.
Thank you for noticing that. I appreciate that. Hey, well, listen, thank you, guys. Very nice to meet you, Andy, Alex. I've, we go way back. I've met you at meet and greets before. You remember about it. I'm happy, Alex, that you got a new thing going on musically. This is a really cool project, and I'm curious how this came together between you and Maya and the whole group and ended up, creating this music.
Well, Andy and I have known each other for a very long time. We were label mates. After Andy was finished with Coney Hatch, he went to work our office. And so he was out with us for the 15 years, I guess, that he was there quite often. And after the last Rush tour in 2015, Andy approached me, the following year, I guess, and just asked if I would play on some stuff that he'd been working on. So we very casually started to develop this writing relationship. He met Maya along the road, and when I heard her voice, I thought, oh my God, this project can really go somewhere. So we went from being sort of a casual few songs project to being a full album and really concentrating on the writing over the last year and recording. We never worked together in the same room. It's all been by sharing files, and it's been such an amazing experience, really, really rewarding, certainly for me. I get to play guitar in ways I never expected I could.
Yeah.
So that was a real treat.
I was reading an interview with you, Alex, and talking about how you are very proud that this is such a departure in sound. But the funny thing is that, rock or in general, or music like this in general, in the days of old AM radio, you'd just hear, at least in the United States, you'd get like all sorts of different things, and you could experience different things. And to add other things to the menu, like this sound, which is a sound that I really like. Preston was sort of invoking some of the bands you mentioned earlier, Preston. We were talking about Mazzy Star and...
Yeah, and like this moody female-led groups that have this... this kind of darker but cool hip tone to them,
Yeah. Was it by design, or as you started to record, did you realize with Maya that this was going to be the tone?
Well, there was something about her voice that really contrasted the music that we were developing. It seemed like her voice, being as fragile and delicate as it is, worked on top of whatever we did, whether it was sort of had an industrial bent to it or country and western or pop,
right,
or you know, anything. Maya's voice just felt so uniquely connected to the music, and her lyrics are great. I think Andy and I just were really inspired by the direction that it was going to right off the bat. Right, Randy? Andy, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was interesting, guys, because no matter what landscape we created musically, Maya's voice just seemed to be the icing on the cake, and it was very, very evocative and, as you said, moody. And there were times we had some discussions with her where she was like, I think I got to press the gas pedal a little bit more and dig in. And we were like, no, just be yourself. Let us be nasty around you, you know. But we were all impressed. We just thought her grasp of melodies and harmonies, and as Alex said, her lyric writing at a very young age. When we met her, she was 21. By the time we finished, she was the ripe old age of 24, 25. So.
And you guys have a few more miles logged than she does. And Andy, how did she get on your radar? Did you see her out at a show, or did she seek you out?
Well, you guys will appreciate this being in radio. I was asked to be a judge for an online radio contest, and Maya ended up being one of the finalists. And part of the prize was she was going to get some money for recording and some gear and stuff. And then they said, and you can have a mentoring call with a music industry expert. And I've never considered myself an expert, but I said, that's a pretty crappy prize, but I'll do it. Anyway, it was during that call. She was asking for some advice, and then without even breaking stride, she said, you know, I looked you up on the internet, Andy, would you be interested in, what about if we co-wrote together? And that was the beginning of it all. There was a song on the record called Shadow, and I started working on the seeds of that idea with her, and eventually sent it to Alex and said, Alex, what do you think about this? I think we found somebody pretty special, and would you be interested in playing on it? And that was the beginning of Envy of None.
So Andy and Alex, we'll go with Andy first. What do you give me the absolute plus of recording this the way you did in sort of a disjointed fashion, and the absolute prime negative of this scenario?
Well, Steve, go ahead, Al. Go ahead.
All right. For me, I love working like this. I love working on my own independently, where I can experiment, I can try things, I can take my time, I can delete stuff I don't like. You know, it's great to have people in the room, and it's great to be part of that vibe and the enthusiasm, but invariably everybody throws ideas at you. It can be just a little too much information when you're trying to focus on something,
right?
Because things take a while to do right. So for me, working in my room by myself was just perfect. And then we would share the files, and we would build the song like a pyramid. And once we got to the apex and we felt the song was complete, then we moved on to the next one.
Hey, I had a chance to track the whole album, and I found out something really cool that I didn't know until afterwards. And there's a lot of great songs in there. I really like Cabo Blues, but one stood out, and it was an instrumental called Western Sunset. And I just thought it was a really pretty departure from the rest of the overall sound of the record. And then I was reading this morning, and Alex, you can tell me if what the truth to this is or not, but it's... It was an homage to my idol, your brother, Neil Peart. And is that indeed the case? And if so, how did that song come about?
Well, you know, I was working on that song, and I was visiting with Neil, as we did quite often through that period of time. And Neil had a little balcony, like a patio, on the second floor of his office. And we would go up there and sit, and he'd smoke cigarettes, and we'd watch the sunset. And it just struck me that that moment was very calm, serene, and peaceful, despite this very heavy burden that we were all feeling at the time. And the sun, as it set, filtered through the trees as we were sitting up there, and it struck me that the day ends, and it's that day's over, and that day will not come again. But the sun comes up again the next day, and it just that closure of the sunset and what it represented to me at that moment felt like just the right kind of thing. And I wanted to create something that was evocative of that moment, that had that same peaceful feeling of serenity that we were sharing at the time.
I think it's so cool that a musician is able to go, I want to capture audibly what a sunset means that can invoke a visual picture. Now, we do it with words, you know, theater of the mind is what we do. But when you can do that with tones, it's pretty impressive. And were you able to nail it heading right out? You know, like, I know what key I want to go in. I know what notes I want to get to. Can you create things like that? Do you know a picture sonically in someone's mind?
Yeah, you know, for me, and I think it's from my history with Rush, Rush was a very cinematic band as well. I think the stuff that we created, we saw it as we wrote it. And I don't know if I have that ability or why I have it, but I seem to have it. And when I think of music, I think of colors and I think of patterns. I think of a palette, and it might be trite to say that because a lot of musicians feel that way, but that's exactly the way I picture music. And I want it to have that kind of response, a very cinematic response.
Nice.
And that one took some time. Okay. I worked on that song for about 5 years to develop it the way I wanted it. And Andy helped me a lot with that, redoing the bass part in a very sensitive way. So, yeah, I think those things take time to develop.
Okay. Go ahead, Andy.
And Preston, I was just going to say, Preston, there's a really interesting part of this that plays into your question, especially. I grew up with Rush too, and a huge fan of the band, but serendipitously, and I didn't know it when Alex had sent me the idea, but on one of the last tours, Geddy Lee gave me a Fender fretless Jaco Pastore's jazz bass as a present. And a thank you. And it's one of my favorite prized possessions. And so when Alex sent Western Sunset over, I thought, man, I'm gonna play this, not knowing where the inspiration came from. So I look at it now, fast forward, and knowing that he composed that song with Neil in mind, and that I ended up playing a bass that Geddy gave me. It just tied it all together, you know. It's so
energy.
Cool.
Yeah.
That is very cool. You talk about also what you see in both of you, you know, in your mind. What we all experience, I tend to think of the presentation of the music on stage. How does this present on stage? So Envy of None, to me, seems, and I think both of you have said it at various points, that this is this is proper lighting, not arena, but a theater, you know. So is that something that we will see, a sort of, you know, kind of... here and there sort of tour for Envy of None? Is that in the works?
You know, we keep saying we would have to wait until the album comes out and see what the response is like and what the demand is like to put something together. I, for one, am not really interested in going on the road. I spent 41 years on the road, and honestly, that was quite enough. And I think Andy feels similarly. But I'm sure Maya would love to get out there. She's young and she's very visual. And I'll definitely buy a ticket to sit in that audience to watch that show. I think this music presented in a small theater could be so dramatic and have such power to it. If we do something, we'll create something. And I would say that Andy and I would maybe do some shows together with whatever band that's created to take this on the road, and that would be fun. But I don't know if I would be up for a major tour.
Right.
Certainly.
Right. Listen, I want to commend, you know, your years on the road. Obviously, you guys worked hard for a long, long time. And Rush, I had a chance to meet you on a few occasions at meet and greets, and you guys had it down to a science. It was so wonderfully well done. Where we'd come up, meet, get a picture, have a chance to say a couple of words, and I made a horrible mistake. I tried to say something witty to you, Alex, and I was just like, right after it left my mouth, I was like, oh, you idiot.
I haven't been the same since.
That's how bad it was.
I learned from that point on, just say, thank you for the music, thank you, it's nice to meet you, and then move along, and stop trying to stand out. But listen, you know, you're a professional, you handled it really well, and you appeased me, so I appreciate that. And I've had a chance recently, and I want a testament to people who are fans of you and your music and the great lengths that Rush fans, and we'll see if maybe Envy of None fans do, Someone recently got me some of the beer that you guys had, the first batch. I know there's another one, Moving Pictures, but I got a letter, Alex, from this guy who got it in Canada. He then took it. It went through like 8 different hands before it got to me, crossing the border and all this stuff just to get it to me because you can't get it here in the States. And you guys, so I read it on the air.
It's like, easier to smuggle heroin than it was.
I was blown away, you know, and that comes from the love of your band. So I'm sure that they're, you know, while this is a completely different thing and has a completely different sound to it, we'll at least embrace and check out what you have done. What are you expecting to hear back from Rush fans about Envy of None?
I don't know. You know, it's early still. I haven't really heard too much. I've read some of the reviews, and they've all been very, very positive. And the interesting thing is that, you know, they talk about the differences and that it's not an extension of Rush, and it's not some sort of unfulfilled desire I had to continue what I'd done. So that's very promising to me because I really spent a lot of time trying to not be that kind of guitar player. The songs are not Rush songs, and you know, no matter what you do, you can't make them a song that Geddy and Neil and I would have written. So it's something completely different, and it's a really wonderful expression of where I'm at as a musician at this point in my life.
How about feedback from Geddy? And also to back up on that, when after Alex, if you give us any reactions that he's had, I'm curious, Andy, what he has to say about your bass playing.
Well, Preston, Geddy and I have been friends since we were 13 years old. We're best friends. We shared the experience of Rush, but we share a lot of experience, life experiences. We were together just a couple nights ago with a really great dinner, and catching up on what the last couple of weeks have been. Never mind the last couple of years. So we're always seeing each other. We're always part of each other's lives. Look, he's working on his book. I worked on this record. We do stuff, and we share our interests. He updates me on how the book is going. I let him know about how Envy of None was going. He asked me about it the other night. Like, we support each other because we're friends, and we respect what we see in each other's life path. And if our paths cross again at some point musically in the future, fantastic. And if they don't, well, fantastic. We'll always love each other and be great friends. So,
yeah. Alex, yeah.
And go ahead. Sorry, I was just going to say, guys, certainly a bit of an albatross looming above the project, knowing that Alex's partner was Geddy Lee. So I was very cautious. Listen, I don't have those type of bass chops. I can muck around at home and lift stuff. And I did lift many Rush songs as a teenager growing up. But as Alex said, this is a bit of a different thing. I mean, maybe the song Look Inside might be the closest to a Rush type bass line, but I certainly was conscious of it and wasn't going to dare try to go head to head with Mr. Geddy Lee in the bass department. That was not even a thought process, and nor would I have tried. I would have failed miserably.
I wouldn't think that you would, but that's cool that you had that in your head, and I was curious about that because of what a force he's been in the world of music. So that's cool to hear. I like that. By the way, Marissa got me our producer got me the beer. By the way, it went from Toronto to Ontario to Michigan to Ohio to Harrisburg to Langhorne, and eventually landed here at our studio in Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania. So it was
a bit of a smuggling ring.
Yeah, totally.
Exactly. Alex.
Nice.
That's pretty good.
Well, listen, guys, congratulations on this album. It is out officially on Friday. There is pre-order available at envyofnone.com. Andy, it's great to meet you. Alex, I am thrilled that you are creating more music. I'm so, so happy as a fan to be able to experience what you have to give to the world. So thank you on behalf of me and all Rush fans.
Well, thank you very much. And thanks for spending the time with us this morning.
Anytime.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. And have a good one.
Good luck with everything. And if you come to Philadelphia, we will see you.
Yes.
Thank you, guys. Army of None, Alex Lifeson, and Andy Curran. That is so
cool.
Very nice. God.
That's good. It's super nice. By the way, Alex, you point to his sense of humor. You know, at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction, he was hilarious.
He is. They eventually got to a point in their career. Like you said, they're a very cinematic band. Not only sonically giving you a picture in your head, but they would do these stage shows that would involve a lot of obviously lights and effects. But they would do. They would have a big video screen behind them, and they would eventually, later on in their career, they started making these little movies that would play, and Alex would play these outrageous, over-the-top characters that were just hilarious. And if you've ever seen he and Getty, like you said, they're best friends. They've been friends since they were 13, and they still talk like they're hanging out in high school and goofing off, and it's just they make each other laugh.
It's wild.
And he loves making Getty laugh. It's so damn funny. So that was incredibly cool. Yeah. I'm so happy. Yay. All right. Well, anyhow, Casey, give me the wrap-up. We got to take a quick break. We'll come back in a moment. We're trying to stay on time. For our MMR Concert Cash, which will be at 10 o'clock. Your next chance to win $500 and the concert tickets as well to the MMRBQ. So let's break, come back. We'll do the Bizarre File and get to all that in a bit. Stay with us.
Mammoth and Dirty Honey are carrying the rock flag for the next generation. If you were at their show at the Fillmore a few nights ago, you know exactly what I mean. Relive the gig with our concert gallery posted at WMMR.com and watch an interview hosted by me, Brent Porsche, in Studio Z.
We'll get into the Bizarre File stories now.
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, we'll begin with this one. An absolute nightmare of a story. The nation's first winning $10 million Powerball double play ticket sold in Maryland went unclaimed earlier this week after a full year of waiting for the winner to come forward. Oh, my God. On the night of September 27, 2021, a lottery player in Maryland made history when they bought a Powerball ticket with the double play option and won the very first $10 million top prize from the add-on features extra drawing. 6 months later, actually it wasn't a year, 6 months later, on this past Monday, the ticket expired and the prize money went unclaimed.
Shouldn't they give it to the second closest number?
Right, yeah. One off.
Right, right.
Ought to get it.
Wait, and it's only 6 months, you said?
That's what this says, 6 months later. Yeah, because it was September 27th.
I thought you did have a year.
Yeah, I thought so too, but apparently this particular one. This
they're getting smart now. It'll soon be a half hour.
Maybe it has to do with the double play. I don't really know, Kath. Yeah. So lottery winners in Maryland have 182 days from the draw date to claim their winning ticket before it expires.
That sucks.
Since no one claimed the $10 million top prize by 4 p.m. this past Monday, the money went back to the state.
$10 million.
The Maryland Lottery put out a reminder in February that the ticket would expire in a month, so they did what they can.
All right.
The only thing the lottery heard back was crickets. And while winning tickets do expire from time to time, it's rare for a large prize like this one to go unclaimed.
Is it only to the residents of Maryland, or is it
I'm not really sure.
Because they should have gone door to door.
It says, as per state law, the $10 million prize will go back to the lottery's prize fund, which will contribute to future lottery prizes. I will sometimes let, if I hear there was no big winner,
right.
I'm in no hurry to go check my ticket. And also, you always know where it happened.
Sure.
It wasn't anywhere near
you. Location.
And I forget about getting it, checked, and I will let it lapse a little bit from time to time, but I never let it go that long. The pilots on a Delta Airlines flight from Salt Lake City to Washington, D.C. decided to bring their jet down in Denver over the weekend after the cockpit windshield shattered above 30,000 feet. The crew repeatedly told passengers to remain calm until they landed. So I saw a picture of it afterwards, and it is.
How shattered?
It's spiderwebbed.
Really?
Mean, it's like complete. I don't know how they could even see out of it, to be honest.
Yeah, we're so going to die. We're going to crash very soon. I want to die. I'm screaming. I can't take it. Please kill me now.
Rachel Wright, one of the 198 passengers, said they came on the loudspeaker saying that the windshield had shattered and that we were diverting to Denver in about 10 minutes.
Didn't they start by easing them into it with the Rolling Stones song?
Yeah, this just starts playing over the intercom. What is that? Why are they playing this?
Shattered our windshield. Have a good flight.
Yeah. A photo of the windshield taken by a passenger shows the glass, though lined with cracks, didn't fall from its frame. Commercial airline pilot
shattered.
Said jetliner windshields can be 2 inches thick with several layered panes of glass.
Sitting in the cockpit, our windshield shattered!
The crew announced a diversion about 90 minutes into the flight after the plane had reached cruising altitude, which is above 30,000 feet. She said they kept coming on and saying for everyone to stay calm, to be calm, and that we were calm. So being told to stay calm while we were calm made us feel a little panicky, she said. Passengers were able to see the shattered glass once they landed.
By the way, if our flight staff could bring the two remaining parachutes to the cockpit.
passengers boarded a new plane in Denver and continued on to Washington. And the passenger praised Delta for bringing the jet down safely and said that the airline was very accommodating. So baked beans filled shoes and spaghetti splattered the walls. Clothes were ruined and the cords of kitchen appliances were cut. Alicia Moy, who is 20 years old, came home to the dreadful scene after calling it off with Jordan Kobold, 21 years old, following just a few weeks together. She said, this is my first home and Jordan completely violated it. Thanks to him, I suffer with trust issues now. I despise him. She had just moved into her very first apartment. This is in England, in Suffolk. In January of last year, she was single and had been using Tinder on and off for a while.
Uh-huh.
Said, I wasn't looking for a long-term relationship, but until Jordan, I'd never met up with any of my matches and really just used Tinder to chat with old school friends. She said, but I wanted to meet Jordan in person. After they had been dating for a couple of weeks, he suggested that he take a spare key to her apartment.
No.
soon after this, she realized their relationship was going nowhere. She said, things turned weird. He'd be watching a movie, and he would just burst into tears for no reason. I'd ask him the problem, and he would ignore me. And then when we got together, he started saying stuff like, this is the stage of the relationship when everything starts going wrong.
It always goes wrong at this part.
And we'd only been seeing each other.
What is it about you Brits?
A matter of weeks. It was so confusing. I couldn't understand why he was being so intense and needy.
You're a crazy bird.
Alicia eventually messaged him to call it off, and he blocked her. She went to work the next day and returned home. Returned home, she said she knew something was wrong when she walked in. She said, I opened my living room door and burst into tears at the sight in front of me. He had pulled my shoes out of the cloakroom and poured beans and spaghetti inside of them.
Oh, my God.
There were condiments splattered all over the walls and cooking sauce poured all over my vacuum cleaner. When she reached the kitchen, she found that the cords of her brand-new appliances had been cut. The fridge freezer had been turned off and cooking oil poured all over the place.
Sounds like a kid throwing a tantrum.
Mm-hmm. She called her mom in tears after finding her makeup destroyed.
By the way, I left an upper decker.
Shower gel in her drawers and shoes in the toilet.
In the loo.
Her mom had to call the police because she said she couldn't get words out. And while police investigated the crime, she moved to stay with a relative. And I don't know what ended up happening to the dude.
Well, but better he did what he did while she wasn't there. What if she was there?
Yep. All right, and there you go. That's it for the Bizarre File. With that, we got time to break and come back for MMR.
Yeah.
Concert cash. Excellent. That's what we're going to do. We return with your opportunity to win some money and tickets, and we want you to get them, so stay right there. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve. Their name is their address.
On the web. PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Royal Blonde, they're playing the MMRBQ. That song is called Honey Brains on 93.3 WMMR. And speaking of MMRBQ...
MMR's concert cash.
Now, here's your concert cash keyword.
By the way, that's our buddy Zach doing that jingle for the MMR Concert Cash. I love it. All right, the word is digital, D-I-G-I-T-A-L, Dr. Mike's favorite exam. Let's see if you can enter that. You have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter it, and there are three ways to do it. You can text it to the special contest short code number, which is 45911. Or if you want to be entered for the $10,000 grand prize, enter it via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. So one random entry, by the way, chosen, and we'll win $500 in our company-wide contest. And all MMR winners receive two free tickets to the MMRBQ. Winners will get a call from our company, Beasley, so make sure that you do answer your phone. Contest rules are at WMMR.com and is sponsored by AAA Distributor. And again, the word is digital, D-I-G-I-T-A-L, so come and get it. Now, while you're doing that, we also have something else that we're going to give away in conjunction with our lesson question. We have a pair of tickets to see Brent Morin, who's going to be performing at the Punchline, Philly, April 16th. Question that I have. We did show and tell this morning.
We did.
Name one of the three items that Nick McElwain brought in for show and tell. Let's see if you were listening. 215-263-WMMR. Name one of the items that Nick brought in for show and tell. If you want to just describe it, that's fine, too. We'll see if you can get it right. And we'll do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Natural Lawn of America. Safer for your lawn, kids, and pets. You can schedule their full service program and get free seeding every year. Call 800-FREE-SEED. Natural Lawn of America, greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. What's up, Steve?
Well, Joe Exotic announcing he's accepted the proposal of a fellow inmate he met behind bars named John Graham. Exotic says Graham didn't want to do the cliche proposal thing by slipping a ring on his finger and instead inserted a broom handle.
Oh my God.
Taron Egerton has dropped out of the production of a West End play called, and I'm going to spell the name, C-O-C-K. Only a month after performances began. Producers are suggesting that Egerton might have purposely jumped from that show because there's an opening in vagina.
Oh, no.
Hey!
And finally, Khloe Kardashian has responded to fans who think she has had butt implants in her latest Instagram posts. Khloe explains that her butt looks bigger because that's where the fat stores when she's hibernating. No. That's her Hollywood dress.
All right, we had show and tell earlier this morning. A few of us brought in various items to describe and show to you, those who watch us on the video. And I need to see if you know one of the three items that Nick brought in this morning. I will go to Joe and see if we can get an answer. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Morning, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, buddy. All right, Joe, what's one of the three items that Nick brought in?
He brought that stupid little gay book in.
Oh, my God.
No. All right, we'll go next to Brian and see if he can get it. Hey, Brian.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you. What did Nick bring in?
It's a book all about me.
All about me.
Much more pleasure.
That is correct. Hang on a moment, Brian.
It's an adorable book.
We are going to set you up with a pair of tickets to see Brent Morin, Saturday, April 16th, Punchline, Philly. Tickets are on sale now for five shows, by the way, with Brent Morin, Thursday, April 14th through Saturday, April 16th, and punchlinephilly.com for tickets and information.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, I just have a couple of things for you, and that will be all. We'll start with this one. This was actually just handed to me. I was originally...
I don't remember.
Oh, no, I didn't. I'm sorry. I thought you said there was no sponsor. All right. Our sponsor is A.D. Moyer Lumber, and trusted expert since 1939. A.D. Moyer Lumber is your professional source for decks, windows, doors, kitchens, millwork, and more. You can visit them on the web at admoyer.com. Now, initially, I was going to report on just a rumor that these bands were going to be performing together. And now I have confirmation and a concert announcement mention for MMR being stoked about this. This would be a great show. Two bands, Korn and Evanescence, will be playing together. And it will be on a Saturday in the summer, Saturday, August 27th. At Waterfront Music Pavilion, and tickets will go on sale for this show on Friday, April 8th at 10 a.m. And that will become that will be via Ticketmaster. And if you want your chance to win tickets, listen to Marcus, who is in for Jackie all week, and he will have an opportunity for you to win those tickets. So again, it's going to be Korn and Evanescence both performing at the Waterfront Music Pavilion Saturday, August 27th. Tickets on sale this Friday, April 8th at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster. And then tune in to Marcus tonight filling in for Jack and Jackson. Filling in for Jackie for your chance to win.
I'm in the same boat. Tickets.
I know, dude.
Hey, it's almost Friday.
Yeah.
Not really.
Not even close. And we have this special panel thing that we have to do for industry professionals when we're done. That's going to
be barely finished Monday.
I know. Metallica's All Within My Hands Foundation has donated $500,000 to World Central Kitchen to help feed Ukrainian refugees. The organization was founded by Chef Jose Andres to provide meals in response to humanitarian climate and community crises. Metallica's Lars Ulrich said, "The work that Chef Jose Andres and the dedicated World Central Kitchen cooks do on the front lines in humanitarian crises is nothing short of incredible. We are inspired, humbled, and beyond proud to support their teams currently in six European countries serving the millions of Ukrainians who have been forced to leave their homes. WCK represents everything that Metallica and our Within My Hands Foundation stands for by providing meals with dignity and hope worldwide." Metallica seeks to raise even more money for this cause, $1 million over the next 2 months, to be exact. So to help meet their goal, artist Andrew Cremines has created a special T-shirt for Metallica. It's currently available via Metallica's web store. All proceeds from the sale of the shirts will benefit the World Central Kitchen's campaign. Donations are appreciated via the All Within My Hands Foundation website. And then one last thing, George Harrison's widow, Olivia Harrison, says receiving the Grammy on behalf of her husband's work is still bittersweet. Olivia and the couple's son, Danny Harrison, received as executive producers on the All Things Must Pass 50th Anniversary Edition, which won the Grammy Award on Sunday night for Best Boxed or Special Limited Edition Package. Olivia spoke to Grammy.com, talking about George being saluted for his life's work. She said, "It's always bittersweet when George is recognized, but it's wonderful. This last project, because it was lockdown and we were at home and we had our bubble that we put in together really at home, you know, we had time and every little detail, all the textures. Donnie really drove the project. It was his idea, and I thought it was ambitious. So I had a role and I curated the book and Donnie was really supervising all the elements and it was recognized and that's really, really nice," she
says. I'm looking at the Instagram and yes. I see that Rita Wilson has written, "I think I'm as excited as you are, thrilled, so bleeping happy for you and Danny." And I guess they're friends.
That must be nice.
Yeah. Rita Wilson, of course, lovely.
I know.
Lovely. She's Tom Hanks' wife.
There's a Rita moment. We have a Regis.
Absolutely.
Regis and
an
Rita.
An enchanting sweetheart.
Regis and Rita.
Absolutely.
That goes together.
Goes quite
well.
Nicely.
Yeah.
All I have to do is bump off Tom Hanks.
That's all you got to do. Well, and, or kill dead. Her because you're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can have her.
Yeah. Six of one. Half dozen.
All right, and that's it. Music news. A reminder, we got about 5 minutes left for you to enter the word digital for the Concert Cash giveaway. So that is the word again, digital, D-I-G-I-T-A-L. Make sure you enter that now because we'll get a winner in just a little bit, and the next chance is at noon. Don't forget, it keeps coming up, all right, throughout the day, seven times in the day. We'll take a break. We'll come back in a second. And are we wrapping stuff up next?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, this is way early. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Tuesday morning, and what a day we have had today. Some excitement to be had. We showed some things. We learned a little bit. Laughed a lot.
I think we got closer as a show.
I think we did.
I think that little orgy that we had.
Yeah, maybe one of us is pregnant now.
Yeah.
I don't know. You never know.
I know that I'm craving pickles.
I haven't orgy with anyone else for you guys.
I got an ooh from Kathy the other day. Marissa, jokingly, it was me and Kathy, and Marissa were in the hallway, and Marissa goes, "You guys want to make out?" or something like that. And I go, "Ooh, three-way." And Kathy just goes, "Ew." Like, not even able to joke. Ew.
Kathy's starting a site called U-Mates.
Wait, I was texting with a friend earlier this week, and I said, we hadn't texted in a while. I found an old picture of him, and I sent it to him. And, I said, "So how are you doing?" And he sent me a picture of his daughter, and she's beautiful,
yeah.
You know, tall, blonde, absolutely gorgeous. And he goes, "How do you think I'm doing? This is my daughter."
Yeah.
And he says to me, he goes, "You know what? I have a greater appreciation for your prudeness back at high school."
Nice. Yeah. Well, listen, I want to thank Nick and Casey and Marissa for bringing in items for show and tell
and
today.
That was fun.
I think it was a good segment, and we will have to do it again now that we've given some ideas and we all have some other things. I've thought of other things
sure.
I can bring in now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm really curious about the history of your bayonet. I mean, like, if it's legit, like, used during World War II or whatever. It'd be cool to track that down.
I got an email from a guy who wanted me to take some close-up pictures and send him to him because he said he might be able to identify it. So I'll have to do that. I'll have to follow through on that. Thank you also to Alex Lifeson of Rush and Andy Curran. They are in a new band together. It's called Envy of None. Their self-titled debut album comes out on Friday. You can pre-order at envyofnone.com. It is absolutely nothing like Rush whatsoever.
No.
It's a completely different vibe. This lead singer, Maya's got a beautiful voice.
She does.
But check it out. If you're a Rush fan, I mean, don't expect that, but you might hear something you like, you know? And thank you also to, we had Justina Calgiano, who is on Director of Advancement and Public Relations for Providence Animal Center. And Casey's doing an appearance this weekend. It is the 6th adoption event at Rafferty Subaru on Westchester Pike. It's in Newtown Square, and you will be there what time?
I'll be there from 11 to 1, but the event is going on, I believe, until at least 2 p.m.
All right, cool. So that is this Saturday. It's Tattoos Day. We got to announce our winner, so let's do that now. We had everybody text in, see if they could win a Preston and Steve themed tattoo, and we now have a winner, and it's Jacqueline Lloyd.
Yay!
Jacqueline Lloyd is from Woodstown, New Jersey, and Jacqueline got a $350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. And Tattoos Day on the President Steve Show, of course, presented by Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. They're 1729 South Street in Philadelphia. For artwork samples, just visit floatingworldtattoos.com or check them out on Instagram at Floating World Tattoos. We need to do the letter of the day. We're a little bit early, so I'm not expecting Pierre to come rushing in here this morning. I think Casey can handle that. Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
L as in Lily.
All right, and we will give away on Friday a pair of tickets and autographed guitar and a room for the night as MMR Rocks Steel Panther, who will be playing the Rez Erections Tour on Saturday, April 30th at Soundwaves at a Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Atlantic City. And tickets are on sale now via Ticketmaster. Click contest WMMR.com for complete details. Take this moment to thank our sponsors. President Steve Show brought to you today by Acme Markets. You can get your free flu shot or COVID-19 booster at their pharmacy. Acme Fresh Foods, local flavors. Also brought to you by A.D. Moyer Lumber, trusted expert since 1939. Your professional source for decks, windows, doors, kitchens, millwork, and more. And also by Garden State Home Loans, your local mortgage lender. Check them out today at GardenStateLoans.com. Tomorrow on our program, you're in for a treat. First of all, we'll go live on Fox Good Day. We'll get our secret text word and give away a nice prize. We'll continue with the Concert Cash, as Pierre is going to be doing shortly. But in our studio, an old friend, Mark freaking Wahlberg.
Yeah!
He'll be here to spend some time with us live in the studio. Pretty exciting.
Always stuff. A good time.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, friend. Bye-bye.
President Steve, 93.3 WMMR.
Bing-dang. Doo-doo. Be-do. Ooh-da-da-doo. Dip-a-doo-doo-ba-boo-ba.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.